often, mothers hug their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the street.
At the top of the hour.
This is the Quality News Network. In Vienna, a report by the International Nuclear Watchdog Agency released today states that Iran has no signs of freezing its uranium enrichment despite Western demands to do so by today's UN deadline. This report paves the way for UN Security Council sanctions against the country. However, there will be no action taken until a meeting next week between a top European diplomat and Iran's atomic chief. Across Iraq today, a series of violent attacks, including two car bombs and rocket or mortar attacks, left at least 51 people dead within a half hour. The majority were killed in a Shiite part of Baghdad. Close to 200 were wounded. Also today, Iraq's prime minister announced Iraqi forces will take over control in a second southern province, putting the Iraqis in charge of security in two out of 18 total provinces around the country. In Salt Lake City today, President Bush gave a speech at an American Legion gathering of 12,000 veterans. He predicted victory in the war on terror and compared the fight against Islamic fundamentalism to the battle against Nazism and communism. In Jerusalem today, a Palestinian gunman seeking political asylum entered the British embassy and remained holed up inside for several hours. The situation ended when Israeli police commandos stormed the building. In southern Lebanon today, a portion of the region has been transferred to the Lebanese army and international troops by the Israeli army. In Sweden, at an international donors conference today, more than $940 million in aid has been pledged by countries around the world to help rebuild Lebanon. In Damascus today, the UN Secretary General continued his visit to the Middle East by meeting with top Syrian officials. This weekend, he will go to Tehran. In Gaza today, for the first time in several weeks, Palestinian militants fired up to 10 rockets into Israel. In fighting today in the West Bank, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian militant. The UN Security Council has voted to create a peacekeeping force in Sudan's Darfur region. However, the AP reports the Sudanese government has rejected giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in their country. Along Mexico's Pacific coast, up to 10,000 people are evacuating because of Hurricane John, now a Category 3. Along the North and South Carolina coast, hurricane watches are in place as Tropical Storm Ernesto regains strength. And California will soon be the first state in the nation to have broad caps on greenhouse gas emissions.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending in July rose 0.8%. That's the largest amount in 6 months. Also, incomes last month were up half a percentage point. In August, retail stores reported solid sales. Merchants such as Walmart, Federated, and Limited Brands did well with back-to-school shoppers. The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he expects America's productivity to keep growing solidly. LG Electronics and Sharp project a 20 to 30% drop in prices for flat LCD television sets next year because of overproduction and cost reductions. Panasonic will begin selling a 103-inch television set, the world's largest, for $80,000. The Labor Department says there was a slight drop last week in the number of Americans filing for jobless benefits. Route 2, 316,000. Ford Motor is considering the sale of its luxury Aston Martin brand to bring in money for its turnaround efforts. And in Norway, two Edvard Munch paintings stolen from an Oslo museum by gunmen 2 years ago have been recovered by police. The two masterpieces, The Scream and Madonna, were said to be in better than expected condition. Light sweet crude settled at $70.26 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 2 points, the Nasdaq was also down 2, and the S&P 500 was flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov. It's now 5.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We have made it all the way to Friday. I'm Bob Kincaid. On the cusp of the long Labor Day weekend, brought to you by organized labor. 3-day weekend. I hope you enjoy it. There will, of course, be no live programming on the Head On Radio Network on Monday for the simple reason that we're going to honor the people who carry, we're going to honor the people who carry America on their very backs by doing absolutely nothing on Monday except celebrating with them. Here at our here in West Virginia, we will be at a celebration of working people, and I hope you can find something equally ennobling to do with your Monday as well. We'll return with live programming on Tuesday. Next week is going to be a little on the weird side of things. We'll take care of a little business just to get things started. We will be back with live programming on Tuesday. I will be on the road to D.C. on Wednesday. So that it is my understanding you will, our good friend in Sydney, Australia, John Fox, will blow the dust off the microphone, fire it all up, and perhaps even be joined by Bruce Birch to carry you through the show Wednesday evening. Thursday, we will be live in one form or another. And Friday, for certain, we will be live from Camp Democracy on the Mall in Washington, D.C., Friday at Camp Democracy is, of course, Labor Speaks Out Day. There will be a number of people from the labor movement there, ranging from the Smithfield Justice Project to the AFL-CIO, the steelworkers, all manner of folks will be there. We're going to be in the thick of it, and I hope you will join us for it. I am so excited I could bust. To me, that area of Washington, D.C. is hallowed ground because so much change has begun there, has taken shape there. To quote Dear Leader, wings have taken dream there. And we're going to be part of the next thing that both incubates and rises to flight from that hallowed ground. So I hope you will join us around your computers at that point in time. After that, God willing, the following week, we're just going to get normal all over again, and we'll have a regular broadcast schedule. I want to share something with you before we. Well, I want to start out with this evening, if you don't mind, because I have said from time to time, and you have most likely heard me say it, that this nation is aching for leadership. Nothing that happens at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue right now could even remotely be termed leadership. Even the weird little cancerous, hardcore knot of people who still haven't gotten around to questioning their foolhardy, misguided, hateful vote for George Bush in both 2000 and 2004. Even those people can't call him a leader. He is a cipher. He's a placeholder at this point. He is a big zero in history's calculus. And he will remain so. But a couple of days ago, we found out there is someone in this country who has the sound of a leader about him. I'm talking about Salt Lake City, Utah mayor, and boy, does that just feel weird coming out of my mouth, talking about anything good coming out of Salt Lake City. But by God, it did. Strange things can, the great things can come from strange places. And a couple of days ago, Salt Lake City, Utah Mayor Rocky Anderson gave a speech in opposition to the war, in opposition to the Bush administration. This is a long clip. This could, you can't hear a clip like this on the mainstream media. You can't hear a piece of audio like this on commercial terrestrial radio, because there are mattresses to be sold and herbal erection remedies to be peddled and, that kind of thing. You gotta make room to sell those ads about people calling for their time, their how to sell your timeshare booklet. It really can be quite profitable. So That is one of the things that we provide here. That's one of the reasons that we exist. It is one of our Agnes, I'm going to speak French. Chain yourself to the chair. It's one of our raison d'être.
Oh, Bubla.
Exactly. So let's hear now from Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson.
No more lies. No more hiding of the truth. We can stand the truth. No more wars that more than triple the value of stock in Dick Cheney's prior employer, Halliburton, and which, as of last September, has increased the value of the Halliburton CEO stock, one person, their CEO, by $78 million. We are patriots. We are deeply concerned, and we demand change now. So I want to hear from you. No more. No more lies from Condoleezza Rice about whether she and President Bush were advised before 9/11 of the possibility of planes being flown into buildings by terrorists. No more. No more gross incompetence in the office of the Secretary of Defense.
No more,
no more torture of human beings.
No more.
No more disregard of the basic human rights enshrined in the Geneva Convention.
No more.
No more kidnapping of people and sending them off to secret prisons in nations where they will be tortured.
No more.
No more unconstitutional wiretapping of Americans.
No more.
No more proposed amendments to the United States Constitution that would, for the first time in our nation's history, limit fundamental rights and liberties for entire classes of people simply on the basis of sexual orientation.
No more.
No more federal land giveaways to developers.
No more.
No more increases in mercury emissions from old, dirty, dangerous coal-burning power plants. No more backroom deals that deprive protection for millions of acres of wild lands in our nation. No more attacks on immigrants who work so hard to build better lives in this nation.
No more.
No more inaction by Congress on fixing our hypocritical and inconsistent immigration laws and practices.
No
No more.
No more reliance on fiction rather than the science of global warming.
No more.
No more manipulation of our media with false propaganda.
No more.
No more disastrous cuts in funding for those most in need.
No more.
No more federal cuts in community policing and local law enforcement grant programs for our cities.
No more.
No more inaction on stopping the tragic genocide in the Darfur region of Sudan.
No more.
No more of the Patriot Act.
No more.
No more killing.
No more.
No more supposedly preemptive wars.
No more.
No more contempt for our longtime allies around the world.
No more.
No more dependence on foreign oil.
No more.
No more failure to impose increased fuel efficiency standards for automobiles manufactured in this country.
No more.
No more energy policies developed in secret meetings between Dick Cheney and his energy company cronies.
No more.
No more excuses for failing to aggressively cut global warming pollutant emissions.
No more.
No more tragically incompetent federal responses to natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina.
No more.
No more tax cuts for the wealthiest while the middle class and those who are economically disadvantaged continue to struggle more and more each year.
No more.
No more reckless spending and massive tax cuts resulting in historic deficits and historic accumulated national debt.
No more.
No more purchasing of elections by the wealthiest corporations and individuals in our country.
No more.
No more phony, ineffective, inhumane so-called war on drugs.
No more.
No more failure to pass an increase in the minimum wage. And
no more
silence by the American people.
No more.
If we could do this in Salt Lake City, we're going to see it throughout this entire country, and the world is going to hear us.
No more. No more.
This is a new day. We will not be silent. We will continue to raise our voices, and we will bring others with us. We will grow and grow regardless of political party, unified in our insistence upon the truth, upon peacemaking, upon more humane treatment of our brothers and sisters around the world. We will be ever cognizant of our moral responsibility to speak up in the face of wrongdoing and to work as we can for a better, safer, more just community, nation, and world. So we won't let down. We won't be quiet. We will continue to resist the lies, the deceptions, the outrages of this Bush administration and of this complacent, complicit, go-along Congress. And we will insist that peace be pursued and that as a nation we help those in need. We must break the cycle of hatred, of intolerance, of exploitation. We must pursue peace as vigorously as the Bush administration has pursued war.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Remember, this is Salt Lake City, Utah.
It is to every single one of us to do our part.
Clear enough? Any questions? This man rises out of the religious cesspool that is Utah and dares in that place to challenge the secret underwear crowd and tell the truth. I mean, you know, I'm not going to break all biblical or anything on you, but Jiminy Christmas, you want to talk about thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Man, he said that in Salt Lake City, Utah. There's some guts. There's some courage. There, I submit to you. Does he ever want to run for anything else? I don't know. But I tell you what, I get chills every time I play it. And what I will do is I will send that to our chief engineer and our webmaster, John Fox, in Sydney, Australia. And after the program, we will post the audio of that at the website so that you can listen to it again and again and again and again, because that is a message that needs to, I don't know, make little CDs of it and leave it laying around on park benches and convenience stores. And that is what leadership sounds like. That is the voice of the you know, was that a moderate? Was that a moderate?
Bob, we must have moderates. Moderates are the only way we are ever going to take control of the power structure in this country. We've got to have moderates.
I said it last night, I've said it before, I will continue to say it. Moderates will get us killed. Moderates are wishy-washy. Moderates blow in the wind. Moderates say things like,
well, I don't know, it might be, John McCain might be just the thing for America because, well, he's a straight talker and, you know, he's not just like George Bush. Then again, there's Hillary, and Hillary, you know, she seems to be taking a very centrist approach to things. I would have a very difficult choice between John McCain and Hillary.
I would have a very difficult choice between John McCain, Hillary, and doing something really nasty in the polling place. Moderates are death for this nation. Hardcore conservatism has had its day. Its gaudy hour has run. The middle of the road, Jim Hightower, the only thing in the middle of the road, yellow stripes, dead armadillos, okay? This is progressive leadership. This is progressive thought. This is progressive philosophy. I don't think he missed an issue. I don't think Rocky Anderson missed an issue. He even managed to, from Salt Lake City, Utah, for God's sakes, he managed to talk about the things that were near and dear to me here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia. That's a leader. That is a leader. I've got some more of the speech, and we will play it during the selected portions of the program. I think you're going to be amazed with this. This is a 38-minute speech. And there was not a slow spot in it. It was everything that a progressive, a liberal could ever want to have said. From immigration to the filthy war profiteering of dirty pond scum like Dick Cheney and kind of sleazy Rice. Yeah, by the way, did you know where kind of sleazy's been? Kind of sleazy has been in, she's been on vacation. You remember that during Katrina, she was shopping at Ferragamo looking for shoes. Imelda Marcos, white courtesy phone. Imelda Marcos, white courtesy phone. Shopping for shoes while New Orleans and the Gulf Coast drowned. Well, on the anniversary of Katrina,
she was on vacation. She was vacationing. She was getting a well-needed rest. She was in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Idaho, indeed. Let's go to the phones. David joins us from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How the heck are you, David? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, you haven't heard from me in a while. I just haven't had anything to really say that much to express myself and my opinion. Just been kind of just taking it all in, osmosis style. And also, I'm having trouble with your stream. Maybe it's because I listen to a lot of corporate radio streams and it's poisoning my computer.
It could very well be.
it's rejecting it, kind of like how that guy who ate fast food all the time, and then he decided to start eating something nutritious.
Yeah, Jason Spurlock.
Right, and his system rejected it. Wow, you know, I just heard about Malloy being fired today, and I made a comment on the Bruce Birch program that I guess riled up some people in the chat room.
What have you done now, David?
But I basically told the truth, Bob, and I said, when you give people red meat and you throw it in the lion's den, they're gonna attack it. And when Mike Malloy put on Webster Tarpley, I think what happened was you have 2.5 hours of Tarpley, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is when you have 2.5 hours of this guy, there's nobody to counter anything. So Tarpley can say anything. Tarpley can go on about Norm Mineta, and does the order still stand about that ridiculous Cheney story? I mean, there is no facts to cite this. Anybody can say an alleged story, and they tote this out in these kind of things. And what I'm getting at is that when they put Tarpley on there, there was nobody to counter anything, and he could just go on and on and on. And Malloy listened to it and was being very cordial to him. But my point is if you don't have that balance, and I'm going to say this to all the head-on listeners, if you don't have that balance of somebody that counters that and says, you know what, we have to have that honest debate. And that's the thing that I was missing when I listened to that program, and I was like, wow. And I thought to myself, if some Air America corporate people hear this, this is bad news. I was glad that it wasn't. I hate to say it. I was glad it wasn't in the afternoon. And the reason is because these attack dogs are so malicious and so crazy and so crazed for anything to jump up to prop up their careers to the next level. And I saw the pundits and I saw what the Free Republic. They jumped on it instantly, and they were messing. You know what, Bob? They were messing with his petition. You know that?
Oh, really?
I guess somebody messed up with the petition and didn't verify it for emails.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put Chairman Mao, they put John Kerry, they just put all kinds of stupid names. They did really immature thing. I don't know how many names they did, but, and what's funny about it, and this is even more crazier.
Okay, now wait, slow down, back up.
Yeah.
You talking about Malloy's petition?
Yeah, Malloy's petition. They hijacked it and put a whole bunch of different names on it.
Okay.
And but what's even more crazy about it is there's an op-ed columnist who's putting a whole bunch of names to it as well from Men News Daily, and I'm like, these people are crazy and like three-year-olds.
Oh God. Well, the thing is, there's a whole bunch of legitimate names on there to begin with, David. So
yeah, I know.
I mean, that's what ultimately matters the most. It's gone way over five. I was signer number 1600, and that was within about less than 24 hours after the whole thing went down. Bart Kopp was number 1800, and the thing has just grown. It's almost at an exponential level.
And you know, the thing about it that people should realize is that tactic that they use, that's what they do on voter rolls too.
Well, sure. I mean, you're going to see dirty tricks wherever truth tries to take a breath of fresh air.
Right.
Do you think that? Well, I'm going to list my own personal bit of speculation. I mean, No, I'm not, because I'm not going to engage in the speculation.
I will
submit to you, David, that there are, there are moderates. I mean, I've seen it on Democratic Underground. I've seen it on Randy Rhodes' board. I've been going around and reading, and, you know, every now and then you'll run across one of these little kumbaya types.
Yeah, he was too strident. He was mean.
Did you read Sheldon Drognes?
Yeah, I did. I read what Sheldon had to say.
I thought that was good. He put stood up for Malloy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he means it. See,
and then Wonkette. What the hell is Wonkette?
I didn't read what she said.
Well, you know, I mean, they're based in D.C. and so they've got a firm grasp on irony, and they put up a headliner that says, "Noted America hater Mike Malloy gets fired from AAR."
See, the problem is there's so many people.
Aren't they cute, David?
The problem is that so many people want to big up their careers. They don't. It doesn't make any sense. They want progressives on their side, and then they're trying to force out real progressive dominating voices on the radio that have a serious impact when you listen to them with a controversial edge. And I know the argument a lot of people say, well, Malloy shouldn't have got knocked off the air and all of that. But the thing that I like people to keep in mind is that when he started talking to Webster Tarpley and Alex Jones and people like that, I mean, some stations they can't handle that, and they obviously couldn't. That was obviously a factor, and they couldn't handle 2.5 hours. They didn't want to risk that again during election time. That's the way I came up with it. I did not take into the consideration of the advertising and think that didn't make sense, because they should know that Malloy's not going to get mainstream advertising any way you cut it. It's always going to be from a different selection of.
I think it's possible to get that kind of mainstream advertising. At some point, we will here at the Horn, we'll pursue that kind of thing, because we got to keep the lights on, among other things.
Right.
It is a matter of enabling and empowering advertisers, because operating behind all of this, David, is the lurking black, just poisonous shadow of the right wing. I've talked about this on the air from time to time. You know, you've got a station in Tehachapi or Tonopah, or, you know, one of those towns that Little Feet makes mention of. And, you know, so you run somebody, and it doesn't have to be Mike or me or anybody, but, you know, sooner or later something controversial will be said, and all the little people in their little churches will be told by their pastors to call Fred's Furniture Mart and say, "I'm never going to buy no dinette set from you again, Fred's Furniture Mart, because you got somebody on the air what don't love Jesus." And merchants are extremely timid in that regard. So it puts the onus, David, on listeners, to the people for whom it matters, to actively go to that guy and say, "I'm going to do business with you. If I got to buy a chair, I'm buying a chair from you. I'll pay a little extra to you, even, you know, because you're supporting something that matters to me." We have not figured this out yet on the left, David. The right wing has this down to a science. They will intimidate the advertisers who advertise on the progressive media. They will attack those people. They will torment station management. And there is no more pusillanimous, timid, pathetic soul on earth in general than a member of management at a small radio station, because they live in constant fear of the little tiny frog pond that they live in turning on them and not buying ads anymore, when in fact they've got more power than they could ever possibly conceive of.
Did you think Tarpley took advantage of Malloy in the circumstance when he gave him that?
I don't think it is possible to take advantage of someone like Mike Malloy or any seasoned broadcast professional. Nothing happened on that broadcast that Mike did not that Mike did not have complete control of. If anything had gotten out of hand, he would have given a little hand sign to Kathy. Kathy would have pushed a button, and the next thing you know, you would have heard some music.
Do you think that was one of the prime reasons why they?
No.
You don't think it was?
No, no. I think people are out there sort of playing Beatles records backwards, trying to say, "Aha, it was that." Because I saw a long thread on Democratic Underground where people were saying, "Well, you know, he had this right wing nut on, and he told him to go get a gun and start killing Muslims. And I guess that was like, Monday's show or something. And that must have been the reason. And the 9/11 people said, no, it was Webster Tarpley. That was the reason. And the people who had listened intently to his incredibly stirring and passionate words during Israeli slaughter of the Lebanese civilians said, no, it's AIPAC. AIPAC has finally infiltrated Air America. You know what? It could have been anyone alone, or it could have been all three in a combination, or it could have been an unknown fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh factor.
Right.
My guess is, David, that there might be, and God, I hate speculating like this. I'm ashamed of myself. People have said, well, who do you suppose will replace Mike Malloy in that 10 o'clock slot? And they've said, oh, it'll be... I had a couple of people say, well, it'll be Harrison on the Edge. It'll be John Elliott. It'll be the Young Turks. Okay. I've seen all of that. You don't want to be in my email box right now.
Right.
I mean, I appreciate the thinking, but I mean, it's become a full-time job just dealing with the email for the last couple of days because people are hurt, people are confused, people are wanting answers, and there are no answers forthcoming, and there may not be any. But let me submit to you that there may be a fourth answer in all of this. The answer to who will replace Mike Malloy might very well be dead air.
It might be dead air, or he could be put back on the air with enough pressure. I don't know if that's a possibility. I think part of the problem with Air America now is there are too many DLC ghosts haunting the place.
Well, I mean, there's a whole lot of moderate pablum out there. There are people who are cozied up with, who like to have political bigwigs on the show. Franken, yeah. But no, my point is... And it pains me to say this because, you know, from the very beginning, all the right wing outlets, Air America's dead tomorrow. Air America's dying.
They've been saying that forever, right?
Right. And every day the sun comes up, the lights go on, and the stuff fires up at Air America, and it's another broadcast day.
Right.
But as a consequence of that, this rumor has been constantly circulated that they're dying, they're dead, they're having money problems, they won't be here tomorrow. And I said early on, David, and I think it remains true, that
perception is reality.
Perception is reality, and when they claim that the reason for getting rid of Mike was financial in nature, they give they give the imprimatur of truth to the argument that they are hurting for money. Because if you can't afford the single most truthful, single most honest, single most fact-based individual broadcasting on your network, you don't have a lot of reason for flipping the switch in the morning.
Do you think Randy's going to say anything about the Malloy situation?
I think she might make some sort of passing reference and move on, but to make any sort of impassioned plea, absolutely not, because, she likes that autograph she gets every 2 weeks.
Well, I really can't blame her on that. I noticed Cedar said something on his blog.
Oh, did he? Well, he said something on the air.
Oh, did he say? Well, that's good.
Yeah, he said he was extremely pissed off and sort of limited it to comments along those lines. But if you're ever in broadcasting, David, you know that you cannot hold it against the people who are left behind when you get the boot.
Because
solidarity is great, but you can't have a solidarity sandwich for lunch. And these guys don't have some great big union with a strike fund behind them so that they can bring pressure to bear on Air America. If you get the boot, your coworkers say, Jesus, that sucks.
They go home
and they go, thank God it wasn't me.
I agree with you, and I just think it's a changing of the guard. AM radio has been running for so long and basically on the airwaves. And what you're witnessing is a barbaric type of war between the internet media and the AM media. And the internet is overtaking AM slowly but steadily every day.
Well, that's why projects like The Horn and our streaming partner, RadioPower.org, that is why we are so, frankly, important, because we are structured in such a way that we're operating outside the business model for talk radio was developed by Republicans for Republicans. All right. Rush Limbaugh is not going to get a $25.9 million per year contract because, I mean, listen to the programming, and it's not just Rush, it's all of them. You know, you're going to hear the same thing. Again, I got to hammer this message home because as progressives, we owe it to ourselves and to our nation to figure out another and better way to do it. This guy's Flush is making $25.9 million a year, and yet if you listen to his program, the only ads you ever hear are for, you know, I was having a tough time in bed until I started taking this herbal erection remedy and going to bed at night on my Swedish mattress that was developed by scientists at NASA. In the morning, I get up and I clean my house with my mail order vacuum cleaner. It's the same crap all the way across the right-wing talk radio spectrum, and they're trying to make it work like that at Air America, and it ain't gonna.
A lot of the advertisers, they just the format is. The conservative format, for the most part, is dead. That's why a lot of people are getting more rebellious, like O'Reilly's questioning the president now and questioning different policies, when like 2 years ago he wouldn't do that.
But you got to understand, prior to the beginning of the war, O'Reilly said, if this president takes us to war and it's proved that there are no weapons of mass destruction, this was a direct quote,
right.
I will never trust him again. And he has never, never addressed that issue. But I want you to take a deeper look, if you could, David. I want you to look behind what I just described to you about the nature of the advertising structure on right-wing radio. How does Rush Limbaugh get $25 million a year hustling erection remedies, Swedish mattresses, and vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls? How does that happen? Do the math. Make that work for me, David.
He doesn't, and I think another part of it was people
should... Bingo!
I know, but I think a lot of people should realize that a lot of the people who are toting their numbers, you can tote any number out in the public, and it's completely legal.
Well, sure. I mean, Rush Limbaugh's 20 million listeners a week is the same 5 million people 5 days a week. I mean, he hasn't... I doubt if that man's had a new listener since God was since God was sucking his thumb. Okay?
Right.
But let's take it... Again, let's drill down another layer. Okay?
He has his core base that's pretty dense.
Not just that. He's not making $25 million a year selling patent medicine.
That's
not
true.
Making it. Right. Where's the money coming from? David, it is coming. It is entirely, and it's from the very beginning, and this is the difference between liberal, so the so-called liberal elites and liberal money and liberal rich people and conservative rich people. From day one, Flush Flimball has been awash in money and support from right-wing think tanks, foundations, the issue advocacy groups. There has always been enough money to keep the lights on over top of Rush Limbaugh, all right?
Right.
It's always been there. When everything else was collapsing, there was money propping him up. I remember when the state of Florida, the orange juice board, for God's sakes, tried to hire him to hawk orange juice to the weird little ditto heads. You know, and they're so damn stupid, they have to probably be told to drink their orange juice. But the rest of the nation went, okay, fine. You want the ditto heads to drink orange juice? We don't drink orange juice. You know what? It didn't hurt Flush Flimball one little bit. Obviously, he had an abundance of money with which to supply his maid and send her out to do deals in Denny's parking lots for fistfuls of OxyContin so that he could chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor, David. What I'm getting at here is that there is a willingness there, and that nay, there's not even just a willingness, there is a desire on the part of the right wing to own talk radio because they understand that it's by having the message out every blessed day and having somebody hammering those messages every blessed day, that is how you achieve issue superiority in America. It's not by running 30-second ads on CNN or 6 weeks worth of political advertising during the legislative session in your given state or 6 weeks worth of ads prior to a general election. That does not change hearts and minds in America. Talk radio has changed hearts and minds in America, and it has changed it for the worse, sad to say. And it has been an effort that has started roughly 1984, 1985, and has continued unabated with a steady stream of hateful right-wing money until this very day. And our side, for the most part, is still trying to figure that out, and very few of them have come up with the answers. I've got I understand that answer. Malloy understands that answer. A handful, Tony Trupiano understands right. that philosophy. Very few other people understand that philosophy. Sheldon Drobny gets it. Okay? Very few others get it.
The conservative model, I think, has been ravaged by time in itself.
The model has, but the money hasn't. Because if there's trouble in the right wing model, David, they know it already, and they're already working on the solution. Meanwhile, you know, little lonely voices like me are out here in the wilderness screaming, guys, we gotta at least go. We gotta at least answer them. If for every day that they put it out there, we gotta be there every day answering it. And you know, meanwhile, I've got the Democratic leadership conference in Washington, D.C., saying, you know, we can't be too mean. We must be moderate. And it makes me crazy.
I think what's going to happen is if we do, these elections are not done, the House, and we don't get the House and we don't get the Senate, anything like that, I think you're going to witness a stronger voice against the conservative extremists. What a hypocritical term that is. But
well, if you're saying if we don't win in November, that the voice is going to get stronger?
Yeah, I think it's going to get stronger.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
No, but I think slowly. I don't say it's going to like happen overnight. I'm saying slowly.
We don't have time for slowly, David. The barn is on fire. The house is on fire. The burglar is in the room, has the silver under his arm, and is headed for the door.
We may not, but I mean that's how I see how things are going to come to head. That's the nature of America at this point right now. A lot of people, they'll wake up when the barn's almost burned down and be like, we got to get out of here.
You know, the barn might be in trouble. You know, when the beams are collapsing around our heads, that may be, and that's a function of a failure in leadership. And that's a function of a failure to comprehend media, and it is a failure on our parts to understand how important grassroots activism is.
One more thing.
Go right ahead.
I saw a thing on this independent TV channel on the web called Liberty TV.
Uh huh.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
They have a whole special dedicated to the war machine. And it looks professional. Like, it looks like one of those public access type TV channels. It looks like somebody's putting some money behind it.
Huh.
I'm kind of hoping that it's not one of those shows where in the middle of it, all of a sudden they take out cowboy hats, put Confederate bandanas on, and start talking about immigrants.
Yeehaw!
And then I'll know it's part of the libertarian type movement.
Yeah, it'll be sort of LaRouche or...
Gotta get those immigrants out. And those wetbacks.
Oh, God. God. I know. David, thanks so much. Thanks for taking me so many places that were worth talking about. I always appreciate your calls.
No problem, Bob. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a good evening.
Later.
Bye now. Okay. Let's see. Agnes, do we do a break or do I go to a phone call? We just got to figure these things out. Okay. Agnes says break. I could use one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to monologue like that during David's call, but he brings up points that we can't talk about often enough. There is that element of our side of the fight that is playing checkers on the same board that the Republican Party is playing chess on. Now, what is that? Can I jump that little horsey thing? This is the Head On Radio Network. You know how to get in touch with the program, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back. I'm Bob. We'll be right back.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
Yeah, and another jump to the left, and a jump to the left, and a jump to the left, and screw the right. no, I'm sorry. I'm just that way. About 8 minutes before the hour, I want to go straight to the phones. A good friend of ours joins us now, a brother of ours on the Head On Radio Network, my good friend Guy James. Guy, are you there?
Hi, Bob. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Good to hear from you.
Well, I was listening to the program, and you were talking about something close to my heart, and so I thought I'd give you a call. I've never done that before.
No, this is I'm indeed honored.
Well, you had quite an interesting discussion going with the gentleman on just before, and how are we sounding? We sounding okay?
Yeah, we sound great.
Okay, all right. I'm sitting in my studio this evening getting a little ad work done, voiceover work done, that sort of thing, and I, of course, listen to your show, as I often do. And you were making a great point with the gentleman about Pills Limbaugh and the money that flows through his show and Mr. The little Nazi son of a gun Hannity and those people.
Yeah.
And it does not add up. And you've been around radio a long time, and I've been around radio a long time, and it's easy to get the little calculator out and add up the numbers, and they don't come out right. They don't come out right at all.
I'm trying to figure out how much one Swedish mattress ad must go for, Guy.
Well, you know, they do the trade out with the ads and so forth, but it still doesn't add up. I don't know how many stations he's on right now. But, you know, Bob, part of the problem is, and I know you've been through this, and I know you're probably going through it right now, and I have been over and over and over it myself. There's a vast difference between the way the right approaches things with money and the way the left approaches things with money, and it's just a doggone shame.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Well, you know, we've got some people with very deep pockets on our side of the aisle, but they don't want to spend their money. And I've approached these people and had meetings and so forth. And you know, I know you have as well. And they're more than willing to part with their money, and they're more than willing to sponsor things. But it's going to be narrowly and precisely what they want put forth.
Now, you understand that on subaccounting line 132 stroke A-B, that's your paperclip allotment.
You got it. And most recently, not so terribly long ago, I approached a gentleman with very, very deep Democratic pockets. Yes, we'll be willing to fund you, but we're only interested in the immigration issue, and we want you to do the entire show every day, two, 3 hours, nothing in immigration. That's my thing. That's all I will fund if you will do that sort of a show. Well, that's not something I want to do 3 hours every day.
And if you did his bidding, Guy, it would be deadly dull radio. And what's more, his money would be down a rat hole because it would be money thrown away because it would be, I mean, and this is no slur on you. I'm talking about in general. It would run people away.
Oh, absolutely.
Single-issue radio bites.
Absolutely. And then you go on the other side of the aisle, and you have folks like your Richard Mellon-Scapes that are willing to throw a couple of million bucks at the wall and say, there you go, guys, use it however you need it.
Yes.
And they have done that for 30 years.
Right.
And we cannot, and I know you've tried, I've met with God knows how many high-level Democrats. We can't seem to get it through their heads that we're getting beaten to death on the airwaves, and they just pay us lip service and continue to get pounded 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and they don't understand.
If you add up all the right-wing talk in America right now, cumulatively, Guy, I would bet there's something probably approaching 500 hours a day of right-wing, hate-filled, venomous garbage on the airwaves in this country, if not more. I don't think liberal talk gets to three digits.
Well, I know you've been through a similar situation where you live, where I live. My show was kicked off of terrestrial radio here in Southwest Florida because, and I like to quote it exactly, because your program did not meet the expectations of our conservative audience. Well, it was 200 hours a week to two. And yet the two.
Yeah, the two know, was the dangerous part.
Yeah, that was intolerable for them. It makes no sense, but I think the main problem is not with them. There's just as much money in Democratic pockets as there is Republican pockets. However, the mindset is so much different, and it is so antiquated on the left that they just can't seem to catch up and understand that the media war is so god-awful important.
Well, you know, people, and there's an aspect of this guy that also speaks to the audience and the listener base. If you're out there and you're just sort of wandering around, and, you know, you're working for a living and, you know, you're driving to go get the kids at preschool or whatever, and you turn on the radio and you hear this right-wing filth and you say, God, that's awful. And you spin the dial and you hear right-wing filth of a different variety, and you spin the dial and it's more right-wing filth. People who are listening to talk radio and people in general want to feel like that they are part of something that matters and that they are, in fact, on the right side and on the winning team. Like it or not, we've got a football game mentality about our politics, and it's probably to our detriment.
You got it, brother.
And so when the only thing that's out there, Guy, is right-wing hate, if you want to be a winner, if you want to feel like you're on the right side of stuff, what choice do you have?
You got it.
And so the DLC and those folks look up and I don't understand why people would vote against their own wallets. Well, you and I understand, Guy. We understand very well.
Been in on the meetings. Set in with senators and congressmen. We're going to help you. Yes, we're going to help you. We see what you're talking about. We understand how we're getting beat. Don't you worry. We're going to put things in motion. We're going to help you.
Yeah. Try. Yeah. You want to get a real good laugh? Try to explain this to people who have been getting their butts handed to them in the tort reform business. Oh, man, that's a great message. You're right. We got to get the message. We got to be out there every day. Well, you know, it'll cost you a couple of thousand dollars. You know, I hear my mother call. You know, I've got a deposition.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, their last thought of what you just told them about the media, you know, getting killed in the media, their thoughts are over with the moment you walk out the door. And that's the sad truth of it in the Democratic Party right now.
Right. And, you know, here in West Virginia, Guy, we face a real threat over the next couple of election cycles from a man who makes $33 million a year blowing up mountains in West Virginia. And he has said he will spend himself to pauperhood in order to take our government away from us. He's told us that to our faces.
And he'll do it.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you know, the I hate to say it because I'm, you know, they're I'm on their team. You know, our leadership is sitting there saying, well, you know, do we have the form, you know, do we have the forms filled out right so that the so that everybody can properly itemize their paperclips?
Oh God, the forms. Yes.
You know, George Lakoff addressed this stuff, Guy, and I know you know who he is.
Oh, yes.
You know, he said on the, and it's exactly the same thing you just described. He said, you know, if you've got, if you want to get the message out on the right wing, you go to the money and they say, here, take some money. Do the job. Do it well. Go and, you know, go and God go with you. And, you know, if you're successful, come back and we'll talk, you know, we'll talk about even more money.
Yeah, you're the broadcaster. You know what you do. Go ahead and do it right, and spend the money well, and if we think it's well spent, we'll stay behind you. Do you ever hear that from them? Never.
No. No, it's no, it will not be heard until somebody gets, you know, gets out there and leads. You know, this there's a group out there called the Democracy Alliance that apparently has sufficient money to burn entire herds of sopping wet elephants, Guy. And yet and there, you know, there were newspaper stories in the Washington Post, the New York Times, yada, 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 about how, you know, they're out there and, you know, they've got the money and they're going to energize the Democratic base and they're going to fund grassroots efforts, blah, 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 blah. And then at the bottom it says, and by the way, if you'd like to contact the Democracy Alliance, quit trying. Because if you need their money, they'll find you. Like it's some sort of A-team guy, you know, with, yeah, you know, with the, yeah, with Mr. T out front. I pity the fool trying to find a Democracy Alliance. Yeah. Damn, you know?
Bob, I don't know how much time you got, but I want to tell you a quick story.
Go ahead.
I recently attended a very large Democratic function here in Florida. And I had a chance to speak to the entire group, and there were a lot of people there. And I got up and gave my spiel about, and, you know, it's my passion. I know it's your passion. We've got it in our blood. About liberal, progressive, democratic radio and trying to level the playing field. Like I always say, right now it's akin to being in a big football stadium. They've got the PA system, and we've got one of those little megaphones down on the sideline.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And so I get up and speak to this group, and I'm pounding this story away. We've got to catch up in the media. We're getting killed in the media every day. How do you, all the talking points every day, they all come from Limbaugh, Hannity, blah, blah, blah. I give them the whole story, and they're standing up clapping and cheering and the whole business. And when I'm done, within 2 minutes after I'm done, they are not discussing how to fund liberal progressive radio. They're discovering how to go out and walk precincts. And I know that's important, but by God, what do you got to do?
Ladies and gentlemen, on your desk you will find a dose of Ritalin. Please take it. Now we're going to talk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's collective ADD.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're going to go back and do it 1940 style. That's the Democratic Party way of doing things right now. And it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to all of us to try and change it and get up into modern times. The doggone Republicans have done it, and we're sadly lagging behind.
Yeah, but you know what? We've got some excellent emery boards and packages of sunflower seeds to give out, Guy. Damn, you know, it just wears me out. It does.
I know.
Thank you so much. It's so good to hear from you. You know, you're doing great work, and we're so incredibly proud to have you with us as part of the Head On Radio Network. I think maybe finally things are going to begin to turn around. Things are going to be changing because there is a growing number of people who do get it.
Well, we sure hope so. And I know you're doing everything. Bruce is doing everything. Dr. Phil, Mark, everybody on the network is doing a great job and working toward that end. And we'll make it. We'll make it.
I do believe so. Guy, thank you so very much and have a wonderful Labor Day weekend.
You too, Bob.
All right. Bye now. You know, Agnes, if you don't mind, the phones are lit up. I hate to keep people waiting. We're going to ditch the news. First-time caller, Michelle, calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the program.
Hiya, Bob. How are you?
I'm okay. You?
I'm not bad, getting over a virus and a little upset about the Malloy thing and the general state of my country. But other than that, not bad.
The house is burning down, but, you know, I'm still cool. I know.
There you go.
I'm still seething. I'm still so mad about what happened to Mike Malloy. I could just eat nails and spit out tacks.
It's a fact. I feel actually exactly the same way. And I know that this is, I know this is getting a lot of play, and it should, because the way our country runs now, and is that, you know, you were just saying everybody take their Ritalin. You know, it's just mass ADD. So you can't hold anybody's attention for more than 2.5 minutes. And so the Mike Malloy thing, I think, is gonna blow over pretty quickly. I've posted on it at my site, and I'm working with Sarge, who's over at Powers and Morrison.
Right.
Actually, I have a column over there as well. But the point I wanted to make, and I think the last two conversations you've had have been just outstanding. But the point I wanted to make is that I think the media buy and Democrats all getting on the same page, all that stuff is really important. But I think at bottom it has to do with education. The education system in our country has just crumbled away. The foundation of it's gone. It started with when Reagan was governor in California. And so we've had 30 years of chipping away at it.
Sure.
And people are dumb as dirt. I am telling you, I live in Texas. And, you know, no offense to the smart Texans out there, but I mean, this is just the land of the proud and the stupid.
And the stupidly proud.
Well, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I really haven't. And I mean, people don't know the most basic things that used to be sort of just common sense and required, you know, but.
Yeah. And I think your idea of the timeline on it, Michelle, is probably pretty accurate. I graduated high school in 1981, and I went, you know, for a kid coming up from Alabama, I think I got a pretty good public school education, but it wasn't long after that that, for instance, civics stopped being a graduation requirement in those public schools.
Exactly.
So, you know, you've got people who know nothing about how the governmental structure works. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking today, and it's interesting you would bring up something that would work with this. We worry about, for instance, ID requirements for voting. And we talk about how it'll disenfranchise the poor, it'll disenfranchise the elderly, who, you know, more than anyone else are less likely to have a driver's license, you know, some sort of picture ID. And it's true. But by the same token, you have to consider how many in that class, you know, we care about them, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They've been miseducated away from caring.
Yeah. Well, not to mention the fact that when you struggle, your survival becomes paramount, and it's much more difficult to care about what's going on in Washington or the rest of the world when you're worrying about how you're going to eat and how you're going to keep the electricity on. I mean, that becomes paramount.
Well, you're absolutely correct.
And so that, you know, and then they, as a class, I think people, and this class is growing in this country, are so disenfranchised, they feel so utterly powerless, that it's like it doesn't make a bit of difference. Because even if I go to all the trouble of voting, my vote is going to be canceled out by Joe Critter Redneck, you know?
Yeah.
And I think getting back to the thing about education, not only civics, but take something as basic as critical thought, the thing that separates us, you know, from our closest relatives, the ability to think critically. And we don't teach that at all, not at all.
No.
that's something you have to chase down. If you and you have to be hungry for it to even find it in school anymore, even in college.
Right. And it extends across different disciplines. We're going to be sending our kids to a high school up the road here in a few years, Michelle. And the thought of it, we've already sent one child through that school. It was a nightmarish undertaking. Because I dread it for the rest of the family, because there's no journalism project, there's no speech and debate, there's no drama to speak of, no art, you know, there's barely a band. They got plenty of money for football and basketball. Of course, you know, because so much of public education, especially in rural areas, has become nothing more than a life support system for a super flyweight football team and basketball squad, and that's coming from somebody who loves his basketball and his football, okay. But the other side of it is that we have given up on the idea, and it's, you know, I think it ties in with the fact that we have thrown out the word liberal. We've thrown out the liberal arts as well, Michelle. This high school up the road, when you're in ninth grade, you are expected to fill out a form and tell the school board what it is that you, ninth grader, are going to do with the rest of your life and declare a major in high school. You know, is that any way to teach a kid?
It's really not. You're supposed to. It's supposed to be a buffet. It's supposed to be a huge smorgasbord of delicious, wonderful, nutritious food that we feed from.
And as well as algebra.
It's become a slop trough.
Yeah.
And they throw literally, you know, what is left over in there.
Yeah. Can you write your name? Good. Despicable. You've graduated. Go get a job.
Yeah, it's despicable. I think, you know, I'm so concerned about so many different topics about this. And then, you know, as it gets closer to the election day, there tends to be a little more squabbling and bickering within Democratic circles. And, you know, we got to be centrist, you know, we got to be middle of the road, whatever. And then you got concerned trolls on the blogs, those people that just pop up and say, oh, well, I think that's a little too rough. I think, you know, we're being a little too mean. We should back down. And I'll tell you, frankly, I'm tired of laying down, and I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. I speak to everyone that will listen. And I think, you know, I just found you. Now, I've heard your name, but I just found you. And I mean, that's part of the problem. You know, we're talking about the money for media buys to get the word out there. But I'll tell you, some of the most positive feedback that and that works, I think, even in sales, is word of mouth.
Yes.
It's word of mouth. People trust what they hear from someone they trust. And I think that's what we gotta be doing. And so, you know, Guy was talking about you know, the Democratic Fund people will walk away and then talk about how they're going to walk the precincts. I think they're trying to get that sense of one-on-one, you know, pass the word from someone you trust, word of mouth kind of thing. I think that's, and I think the internet is doing that. It's doing it in a big way. The liberal blogs are communities. A blog that I read at and post at all the time, Fire Dog Lake.
Mm-hmm.
It's an active community. These people love each other.
Yes.
Something happens to somebody on there. Somebody says, I'm this, I'm that, whatever. People send them money, you know, just whatever. You know, can I bring you some soup?
Yeah.
You know, just whatever it is, these are communities. And this is how we're going to get our country back. It's going to be one person at a time. And I don't think it's going to be because of a big media buy, because that system is already so poisoned. That water is so poisoned, you know?
I do know, and I think there's a lot of what you say that is correct. As I consider where internet radio goes, and you know, there's even snobbery attached to that, Michelle. You know, you mean you're not on the fifth smallest radio market in America, broadcasting live at 52.5 watts around the, but well, you're not really radio.
Right. Right.
You know, but I reject that snobbery because
as you should.
This is I've got better equipment sitting in this studio as Guy James does in his than many radio stations out there. And we do that because we want to produce a high-quality program, and you've got to have that kind of stuff. Now, what you said about word of mouth is 100% correct. And so let me shamelessly say that I will take, and the Head On Radio Network will take, radiopower.org will take all the word of mouth that we can get. Because it is the most valuable form of advertising.
Well, I posted you on my site. And because I did a posting on Mike Malloy and the show yesterday and my outrage, and I posted a bunch of alternatives to AAR, and you were one of them. And I have been listening since Mike was fired. I listened to Bruce Birch, and I listened to a number of people, and I've put up some other resources. And the resources I didn't know were there. You know, I went and sought them out.
Well, see, that is
I was angry.
Yeah, that's the downside of the internet, Michelle. You can be driving down the road and accidentally find all kinds of radio with the search button on your radio.
Right.
It is next to impossible to accidentally listen to radio on the internet. So you know, it's a double-edged sword. The people who listen to this programming are dedicated to listening to this programming and find it to be an important part of their day and of their own personal goal of bringing change about in America. On the other hand, the backhand of that sword slice is that you can be out there and not know about any of this and feel like you are all alone. And so it becomes incumbent upon us, and we try to do what we can to make sure that we show up on search engines and things like that. Because among other, we have the right wing. The other thing that they have done, Michelle, is to make everything humanly possible to them. They have done to make sure that liberals and progressives feel like they are utterly alone, absolutely neutered, and utterly useless in the political process.
Yes.
And we've got to battle all of that.
Yes. I mean, we are marginalized consistently, and they are constantly, I mean, literally every day there's some new attack. There is some new attack on some aspect of progressive thought or action in the government. It's, I mean, this government, this Bush government is absolutely just corrupt and evil, and
it's a war on us.
It is a war on us. It's war. That word, and I'm sure their people have died already in this war.
Yes, I mean, frankly, when a homeless woman in Nashville, Tennessee, is rolled when she's asleep, rolled into the Cumberland River and drowned by a couple of young thugs, you know what? That means our side lost.
Right. Or 1,100 people in New Orleans.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A dozen coal miners in Tallmansville, West Virginia. We lose every time that happens. Because that's further proof by the government, or by the Republicans, government really can't do anything to stop that. Of course it can, if we determine to have the government that is empowered to do so. But, that's the dichotomy we face. Michelle, let me ask you a quick question, if I may, please. What is your website?
It's deepconfusion.blogspot.com.
Deepconfusion.blogspot.com. Okay, I think you'll probably see some folks coming by and maybe some new posters. I've got a bunch of lined up phone calls here, but what a pleasure it is chatting with you, Michelle. I hope we will hear from you again.
I thank you so much for what you're doing, for what you continue to do, and fighting a good fight, and I'm so glad I found you.
I'm so glad we found you as well, and it is every bit our honor, Michelle.
Okay, you take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And onward to our good friend in Jackson County, Mississippi, Sarge. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for waiting.
Oh, no problem. By the way, Michelle is one of our writers at powersandmorrison.com, and we are just tickled to death to have her with us.
Well, hearing these articulate voices gives me hope.
Yes, yes. We have some great voices, and so does Horn. Oh, I was just telling Guy James, he is a legend. He is just God bless Guy James. He is so great. As is Bruce and John and all of the, all you guys. Y'all are just great.
Well,
I love all of you.
We've got something here that can succeed, Sarge. And with the help of folks like you and Michelle and everybody else who listens, you know, telling other people, we can build this thing. And that's the way I want it to be built.
By the way, I'll give you an update on Malloy and everything.
Okay.
Going in his time slot on that other crashy network now, as far as I'm concerned, is going to be Laura Flanders.
No kidding.
And that's because she's sponsored by the Nation, so they get off of paying anybody.
Well, yeah.
Mm. And next week, and please, everyone, before I say it, I want everyone to understand, and you know it, Bob, the radio business is a hard business. And sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do, but if you don't do it, somebody else will, and the somebody else may not be truth teller like you like. Okay, with that said, next week, John Elliott will be filling in for the week until Laura gets settled in. Now, I'm not going to listen to the network, but I want to say, yes, John Elliott is a great guy. I know him personally, and I love him to death. Peter Werby is a great guy, and believe me, I got an email from him today, and nobody feels as bad about what happened to Mike as Peter does, and he is just heartbroken. So please drop him a line, tell him you appreciate him and that you understand he's in a bad spot, because Peter has really been hurt by some of the negative comments he's gotten. He's too good a guy. Let's give him some support.
I understand that. Now, where support is concerned, I have to tell you, look, I had one reason for listening to Air America. You know, I end this show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Sarge, and Mike was my decompression. Mike was, Mike, I enjoy Mike. Mike makes me laugh. Mike makes me scream. But, you know, I'm in the middle of producing radio all day long, so I got no time for Frank, and I got no time for Randy, quite honestly. I'd rather have dentistry without Novocaine than listen to Springer. So, every reason I had to listen to Air America is kind of gone.
Well, I'll say this. I won't listen to them. I won't listen. As far as I'm concerned, they're dead. But Mike is going to be landing on his feet sooner than later. He's going to be back on the air.
Oh, you're darn right.
He already has three offers that he's mulling over. So he's going to be back. He's going to be back really soon, and he's going to be back stronger and better than ever. And we all who know Mike, we all know you're not going to keep Mike Malloy down, and you're not going to put a muzzle on his mouth.
No, you're not, and I think he will move heaven and earth to make sure that he is back behind a microphone before these SOBs can steal an election this November. Right. But
yeah, that's true, and you can put your money on that. Like I said, he's already had three offers, and he's going to get more, you know that. And he will be back. In fact, he said yesterday on his interview that he will be back sooner than later, and that's why I use those words. But everybody, if they want to, watch my column. I will keep you updated on
it. Okay.
And that's the old Sarge, BowersandMorrison.com. Plus, we, as Horn is running the old Malloy shows.
Right after this program.
Right after this, and we still are opening our chat room for everybody to drop in at Powers and Morrison, and we're encouraging everybody to tune in to Horn and stream the old show, because we love Mike, and we're not going to give up our support for him.
No, I heard Mike, when he was wrapping up at IE America, Sarge. He said, wherever I go, you may rest assured that it will be a part of the deal that I reach, that his program will be streamed as well as broadcast terrestrially. And I have no doubt that he will continue in that vein.
Well, I know Mike pretty well, and I can tell you this. One thing about Mike Malloy, he loves his listeners as if they were his own family.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike comes from a tradition of community organizing, community building, coalition building, I think that's so much of what makes what he does so wonderful. And it's by definition, Sarge, it has to be part of anything that he does.
Well, it's like Guy James was saying the other day, and if Guy James says it, it's, you better listen. But Guy said, you do radio because you love it. It's in your blood, and no matter how upset you get with it all, it's there, and you just don't leave it. And you know that.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, in all honesty, and I'm not slamming anybody, Sarge, but you know, I'm not gonna make the effort to go listen to Laura Flanders. I've listened to her, and she brings nothing to
Laura. I'm not gonna put down on Laura for a minute because she and I have always gotten along.
But I mean, for me, it's just not anything. It's just not anything I want to hear.
Yeah, she's not Malloy, and without Malloy, Air America's dead. That's the way I feel. I'm sorry. I know I'm extremely biased because in my book, Malloy is the best there is. He's number one, and no disrespect to anybody else, like Guy, you, Bruce, John, all y'all are really fantastic. But hey, I'm partial.
No, I understand. Look, I'm no Mike. You know, Bruce. No, I don't want to be. I don't want to try because anybody who tries to be somebody else is by definition going to fail.
And by the way, let me say something. You got one of the sweetest wives I've ever met in my life.
Yes, I do.
I adore your wife, and you, sir, are a lucky man to have such a fine woman.
You're absolutely right, and she reminds me how lucky I am every day, I assure you.
Hey, I'm going to let you go, and thank you so much for letting me get that said. And everybody, hang in there. Mike's going to be back.
He is.
Don't give it up.
All right. You take care, Sarge, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye now. Let's see. What's that mean, Agnes?
Better take a break.
Okay. Better take a break. Then take a break we shall.
And we'll be right back.
She is the captain of this ship. You want to get in on this? I welcome you. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email comes roaring into Bob at headonradio.com as well. You can communicate that way. We make it as easy. We haven't figured out the semaphore plan yet, but we're working on it. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Chicago hotel workers represented by Unite Here have won a settlement with Hilton and are continuing to talk with Hyatt and Starwood Hotels. Unite Here's Lars Nextad says the Hilton contract is a victory for the workers.
It's an excellent agreement with major improvements in not only the wages and benefits, but also workload issues, which is another major factor this year.
Nextad says the Chicago hotel workers are part of a national movement this year called Hotel Workers Rising.
Overall, what we're looking to do is raise up hotel workers into the middle class. These are jobs that are going to remain here in the United States. And we need to make sure that these jobs are going to be living wage jobs.
In addition to the contract reached with Hilton, Nextad says Unite Here also scored an impressive card check win organizing the Hotel Amalfi in Chicago.
90% of the workers signed up in under an hour. So it was a fantastic organizing effort done under a card check neutrality agreement.
With Labor Day coming up on Monday, how are workers doing? Jesse Russell reports.
New numbers released by the U.S. Census this week show an income gap growing throughout the country, with the biggest gap in the Big Apple. While the top 5 percentile in Manhattan took in more than $330,000 last year, the bottom 5% earned $8,019 last year. Those numbers are consistent across the country, with a median hourly wage for American workers declining by 2% since 2003. Yet at the same time, American workers are more productive than ever. When it comes to the gross domestic product, wages and salaries make up a lower share than ever recorded. Meanwhile, corporate profits are contributing at their highest rate since the early 60s. As health benefit costs rise, more Americans are falling off of health insurance rolls. 1.3 million more Americans went without health insurance in 2005 than in 2004. That means 46.6 million uninsured. The number of uninsured has been on a consistent rise since the year 2000. 1 million full-time workers lost coverage in 2005, with 21.5 million full-timers working without. Only 59.5% of Americans have employer-based coverage, a drop of 4.1% since 2000.
UPS pilots have ratified their new contract. Independent Pilots Association President Captain Tom Nicholson says the new contract increases compensation, retirement, and benefits, setting the standard for the aviation industry. Here's today's economic report. For the second year in a row, SAT scores of high school students have slipped. Students averaged 1,021 on the combined math and reading section. There was a 5-point drop in reading comprehension and a 2-point drop in math. A new writing section was introduced this year where female students, for the first time, scored higher than male students. The gender gap narrowed from 42 points in 2005 to 26 points this year. There were also slightly fewer high school students taking the test this year. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. John F. Kennedy once said, "Democracy is never a final achievement. It is a call to an untiring effort." From September 5th to September 21st, the citizenry of the United States of America are occupying the National Mall with an encampment aptly named Camp Democracy. Camp Democracy aims to bring together peace and justice movements to find strength in numbers and call attention to the abuses currently being perpetrated by the Bush administration and the Republican Congress. You've heard me say on my shows, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Well, now is the time to put your feet on the street and make your ideas known. Join us as we occupy the People's Park from September 5th to the 21st. Join us as we show the world what a true democratic society does when its leaders cease listening to its people. Join us as we raise our voices and call for fundamental change. For more information, including ride sharing, available rooms, and a schedule of events, please visit www.campdemocracy.org. That's www.campdemocracy.org. Thanks, and I'll see you in D.C.
Yeah, 28 minutes before the hour and straight to the phones. We are joined now by our good friend Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program. Thanks.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
All fine. One of your callers earlier said something about talking about McCain.
Uh-huh.
And I sent you something about a little while back, but like I say, always remember, McCain is like Arlen Specter. When the camera's on, he talks a wonderful game.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, I'm going to oppose George Bush. Then those doors are closed. It's like, can I sign it first?
Right. Yeah. And
John McCain is the exact same way.
Sure it is. Sure he is. Well, you know, we learned everything we needed to know about John McCain in South Carolina in the year 2000, didn't we?
Yeah. It's like, say, I'm sorry, they go after your wife and kid, and you go up there and kiss their hind end? Well, that tells me exactly what kind of spine you got.
Yeah, because, you're gonna be real good at standing up to the world community. You know, you can't even stand up to a godforsaken Bush.
We won't even get into that. That's something else totally.
Well, okay.
I saw the thing I was looking through today, and I saw all the stuff's coming out on this document. I use the term loosely. Documentary that ABC is doing, this Path to 9/11.
Yeah, the Blame Clinton First documentary.
Uh-huh. And it's like, say, I don't think we should do anything beforehand, but, boy, once this thing airs, we ought to be writing them, you know. One, you know, it's like, what color is the world you live in? I'm curious. you know, it's like say, because, you know.
Well, how many memos did the Clinton administration need to give to Dear Leader?
Well, they didn't do anything in crayon, so that's, you know how it is. It slipped under him.
You know, yeah, if only they'd tucked the note into My Pet Goat, I guess.
Well, you saw the...
It proves what a dead letter the mainstream media is.
Well, have you read the thing this past month or this week, whatever, the latest Mother Jones, where they have the timeline leading up to the war?
Yes.
That was very good. You wish that Newsweek and Time were carrying it, but you know what I mean, but it's like, God.
Well, they're too busy carrying water.
This too is true. Well, you saw who else now is carrying water, didn't you? Washington Post editorial board.
Oh, God.
Apparently, they've decided that the person most responsible for the whole Valerie Plame incident is Joe Wilson.
Like,
how dare you speak out?
You know, I read this. Yeah, I see this kind of stuff, Luke, and, you know, I'm going to be in D.C. again next week. And I'm thinking, I'm not drinking the tap water while I'm there. In fact, I'm gonna buy my bottled water here and take it and not even drink the bottled water there. There's something wrong there.
It's like, say, once you get inside that loop, it's like your mind just kind of... Like
the
cow thing, you know, you eat it, the brain liquefies, apparently.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, I maybe some of it has to do with having to drive on the Beltway. I don't know. It's, you know, there's something funny going on there. I mean, I'm being a little bit facetious, but what kind of mindset? I mean, do people pick up the Washington Post and go, oh, that is some excellent analysis?
Well, I saw one or two stories tonight, and I was watching when Oberman first came on. He had somebody on talking about it. And it's like he showed two or three stories they've carried over the last couple of years, where their news division has sat there and said, you know, Joe Wilson was right, you know, da 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 da. And here's the editorial board saying, oh, he was totally wrong. And it's like it's like the thing with the Wall Street Journal sometimes. You know, their editorial board will say one thing while they'll have a story in the news section. The test says the exact opposite.
And oh, don't get me started on the Wall Street Journal. I've got
you know what I mean. But
yeah, I got a story right here where they're accounting, you know, from the online section of the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. Star goes from cigars to bongs. Did you see this?
No.
Just straight text. President Clinton's impeachment nemesis, Kenneth Starr, is staying busy. Well, I tell you, this is some journalism. I mean, sit back and pay attention. You know, get your crayon out, Luke. Monday, the former independent counsel is expected to file a petition, and this would be this past Monday, asking the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the suspension of a high school student disciplined for holding a banner across the street from campus reading, "Bong Hits for Jesus." This is what Kenneth Starr is doing with his time.
Doesn't being president of a university keep him busy enough?
Nope, because there are still kids out there holding up, you know, there are still, you know, 17-year-old smartasses out there holding up signs that say, yo, dude, bong hits for Jesus.
Somebody call Tommy Chong, please.
I know. But, you know, this is the Wall Street Journal.
No. But like I say, you figure somewhere there has to be an editor who makes the final decision that finally looking here at one page and look at the other page and goes, somebody get rid of one of these stories because it don't make any sense. It makes us look real stupid.
yeah, with a capital oop.
Yeah, that's what I say. It's like, oop, you know. But one of the earlier callers said something about, you know, you were talking to him about, you know, he was like, well, they're going to get angry after this. And I'm sitting there going, look, if the Democrats don't take one of the two houses, and even if they do,
I know.
Chuckle Nuts has got 2 years, and within 2 years, we will be attacking Iran. I have no doubt. If any way is possible, he will do it.
I've hung so much emotional energy on what goes down in November 2006, Luke. I can't allow myself to think of the possibility of not succeeding. The only problem with that is that almost every day of my life I am confronted with another Democrat who doesn't want to succeed.
I know, and the thing is, some of these Republicans are doing everything they can to help us. It's like, gee, Conrad Burns, thank you. It's like, you know, what have you done? You know, it's like, God.
Yeah, but again, you know, I put the question last night, Luke, and you know, you can take a run at the answer if you want to. What do we think of Virginia if they return Georgia Allen to the Senate? What do we think of Montana if they return Conrad Burns?
You know, it's like say you're sitting there and you just go, you know, guys, don't we have to have somebody, you know, with one or two brain cells working? Apparently not.
Well, you know, back in the Civil War, there was a move afoot, Luke, to, and I'm not kidding, one Southerner suggested digging a ditch around Massachusetts and floating it out to sea. And I thought that when I was a little kid and my mother had me on her knee and she was reading me that story, I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard.
Well, you know how it is. Sometimes, after the whole 2000 thing, I always just remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoon where he took the saw and cut Florida off and he just floated away.
Yeah. And, eventually, if we continue down this path, and, you know, you don't have to be Nostradamus or be able to rhyme in French to do any of this stuff, you can predict a whole lot of stuff, Luke. You can predict a balkanized United States. You can predict a Western United States that is dominated by China. You can predict all kinds of stuff and have a better than even odds chance of it coming true. And every last part of it, the linchpin, is less than 3 months away.
I've got to call my local right-wing station next week, and I'm going to have it out with the guy that does their morning show. We're going to have a little talk, and next time he tells me we should support Bush, I'm going to ask him. I said, okay, now let's see now. The same person who's had the failed policies for the last 6 years in Iraq, you think we should keep supporting that and keep throwing kids into a meat grinder because he's such a good failure? You know, it's like, say, I don't care if the Democrats don't have an idea. At least it's not Bush's idea.
Well, you know, I don't know what he's doing right now, and I don't know how busy you stay when you're mayor of Salt Lake City. But I'm ready for Rocky Anderson to go on a national tour.
It's like, say, that's one of them things. It's like I was sitting there and I looked through the C-SPAN and I don't see it. And I know it's online, but I hope they put it out there on C-SPAN so it gets a little bit more open coverage. You know what I mean? Like you said, sometimes things are on the internet that you really have to hunt for.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? I hope it shows up on the C-SPAN or something so people will see it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? In the mainstream, so to speak.
Well, it would be nice if it did. I mean, I've had to watch it on the internet. Our good friend Lottie in the chat room pointed me to the site, KUTV.com. And if you just go and search Rocky Anderson, it'll be the first thing that pops up. It's a good 38 minutes. It's the best 38 minutes you ever spent.
I tell you what, it's one of those things. We got to be careful, because I tell you what, you saw what the new thing now with Rumsfeld is, don't you? It's back to, it's the media's fault.
Oh, I know.
It's like, yeah, how dare they actually report on what you said? You know, And
there's a bunch of people buying it. I don't know if, honestly, Luke, it's still being bought in the volume and the amount that it was bought previously.
Oh no, I think like you say, I think the wind has changed in that respect. You know what I mean? The question is, are enough people paying attention to see it? We hope before the. It's like I said, I still say the night before the election or the week before the election. Please let the DNC, somebody up there, have the brain, which I know is a foregone conclusion, by like a half hour each night, like 8 o'clock, and run some of this stuff. You know what I mean, run like the thing the other night with Keith Olbermann. You know, run something like that. You know what I mean? Put together.
No, the only thing they're going to run with regard to Keith Olbermann is from it. Okay, that's one of the, you know, the I'm sure that every member of the DLC just fairly quaked in their boots. Oh my God, he's calling them fascists. You know, that's just going to empower. That's not moderate.
It's like, well, that's what they're calling us, so we might as well get back. You better be out there and be yelling just as loud, or you're going to get yelled down.
Yeah, I mean, I had some bully fights in elementary school. I understand these things.
Well, you know, it's like we said, the one problem I've had with the Democrats for the last 5 or 6 years is some of them are like, well, we don't want to vote on this because we don't want to be on the losing side. It's lose, but at least do something. If you're going to lose, that's fine. I don't enjoy it. But at least be out there voting so people can say, hey, at least they're standing up.
Yeah.
Don't go hide in the corner and say, well, we'll vote on it when we think we can win. It's like, well, go on home and we'll call you in a couple of years.
And there will
that's going to be the idea.
And there ain't going to be no winning. Hey, Luke, thanks so much.
All right, y'all.
I appreciate everything you bring to this program.
All righty.
You have a great Labor Day weekend, all right? Think about working people on Monday. Because you're one of them.
Well, not Monday, at least. Hallelujah.
All right. Take care. Bye now. All right, and Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
Oh, okay. I felt better. You know, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and someone earlier mentioned the possibility of a revolution in this country. And have you ever thought about what would happen if there were a revolution in this country?
Oh, yeah, I've thought about it a lot.
You know, right now we're involved in wars, and maybe are about to become involved in another war, which is very much like Russia in 1905 with their military adventurism in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if a revolution should come, and it could come in this country, because this country is not nearly as strong as people might think it is. I mean, there's so many things that have hit us lately from all sides, and there's been such a disposition of, or a dislocation of things that is envisioned by, I guess, our founding fathers. But should that revolution come, that would frighten me, it does frighten me personally, immensely. Now, I'm not trying to convince anyone of my position. I'm simply expressing an opinion on conversational radio, okay?
I understand.
But that revolution...
Well, I think you can rest easy, Jim. Revolution cannot come to the United States.
I don't agree with you.
We are a pacified people. We are a sated people. We are a contented people. We are a sleeping people. The only way revolution could come is if someone would try to take the guns and the Bible at the same time. And then, you know, it would last, you know, it'd last a day and a half, and then it would be over.
I don't concur with that. And I think it could come. And I don't, and I think you can see, or I hope you can possibly envision, the possibility of people becoming, from being satiated or sated or whatever, and with the stoppage of certain things in this country, material items, collapse of infrastructure, things of that nature, more poor leadership. I mean, we have leaders right now that are just as incompetent as were the Tsar's ministers. We do.
No, but no argument from me.
I can assure you of this. Revolutions will devour their own children.
Yes.
And those revolutions not only will embrace the people that you would like to see removed, but I can assure you they will embrace more than that. They will embrace you, me, and a lot of other
people. Well, Robespierre sent a lot of people to the guillotine before he himself went. Dr. Guillotine went to the guillotine.
And, you know, at first, you know, revolutions start out in certain cases being moderate upheavals and things like that, but there is no upheaval that's really moderate, because underneath it there's something boiling up and boiling up. And what frightens me the most is that you will see a land in which all sense of restraint of virtue, all sense of restraint of any type of nobility of character could be possibly swept away at the hands of a man with an unusual solution.
Well, we saw a lot of that breakdown in the swirling waters of Katrina. Okay,
that's exactly what I'm talking about.
But today, in on September 1st, 2006, in George Bush America, Jim. There are something on the order of 600 Department of Homeland Security detention facilities that are empty and waiting for internees. Okay? The minute that anybody takes to the street with anything but peaceful intentions, it's all over. Don't think for a minute. A lot of what you say has an element of truth to it, Jim. But don't think for a minute that George Bush would not order the military out to gun down people in the streets of this nation.
My point exactly. And when that could happen, that's when all sense of restraint, and that's when the sleeping giant will awake. And when it does, they will be willing to surrender the levers of power to anyone who can restore whatever they want to them as far as...
Yeah, and on that day, our noble experiment in Republican-style democracy, Jim, is over.
Well, and that's when we could very well become a dictatorship. The first things to go would be the labor union and any other type of organization that's designed to create a palliative.
You get a state religion?
It could be the exact opposite. It could be a state anti-religion.
No, I don't think so, because right now the Christian Reconstructionists are too firmly entrenched in the halls of power. They are set up to become a state religion. They have insinuated themselves spider-like into every corner of this god-awful fascistic right-wing government. No, you would have a state religion, you know, because it's too ingrained in the fabric of this nation. People must be allowed to engage in their fundamentalisms, and that is what the state religion would be. It would be a state religion dictated by D. James Kennedy and James Dobson and Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and James Robison in Texas. That would be the state religion that you got.
But you know, but let me push you a higher case, my friend, and I'm not arguing with you.
I understand.
What happened to the Russian Orthodox Church after 1917?
It went into a certain degree of decline and sort of went underground, but it certainly never died.
Well, it did. Yes, it did. And it was brought out only for the use of the state. And, you know, what I am afraid of is another repeat of history, and I don't think we're that far away from history repeating itself. And for an unusual man with an unusual solution, just like Lenin or Adolf Hitler or Stalin or someone like that, to come to power.
Well, you know, so much of this is happenstance, Jim. Nero in 64 AD, Nero had no idea, because it wasn't religious persecution at the time. He was trying to get rid of some troublemakers, and that's who they said were the troublemakers. He had no idea that when he put leather jerkins on people who called themselves followers of Christus and hung them on poles, covered them in pitch, and lit them in the Vatican Gardens, he had no idea he was creating a mythos of martyrdom for 2,000 years. The magistrate who ordered the hanging of Lenin's brother had no idea what impact that would have on world history. It is the stuff that we do ignorantly as much as the stuff that we do deliberately that brings about this kind of sweeping change.
Well, Nero was absolutely mad. And, of course, he burned Rome because he wanted to build a place on the Quirinal for his golden house.
Actually, the Domus Aureus was already under construction at the time of the fire. Among other things, Nero was present helping put out the fires himself. But that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is, it's what we do in ignorance that runs the greatest risk of doing us the most damage. You know, it is the ignorance of these people who think that negotiating with these right-wing Republicans will lead to some sort of bipartisanship. That level of ignorance will break this nation. We don't have time for it anymore, Jim.
I'm not saying that either.
Okay.
I'm simply saying that the people will become so tired, and if you get the military involved in this thing, they're not going to care about ideology. They're not going to care about anyone's ideology except their own.
No, they're just going to open fire.
And that's what I mean. A strong person will come to power who will promise order, who will promise the restoration of this, that, and the other. And that person just might, who knows?
Well, that's the bill of goods that we were sold with regard to George Bush, isn't it?
No, not really. I don't think so. I don't think George Bush came. I don't really think he came.
Remember how he was going to bring honor and dignitude back to the White House, Jim?
No, we're not talking about honor and dignity. We're talking about the basic essentials of life, which could stop so quickly. I mean, what I'm trying to ask you to do is look at the infrastructure of this country.
Sure.
It is in such bad condition. And if it should break down, and it can break down, I mean, we have a system of highways that is in desperate need of repair. We have cities that are unprotected from all types of natural disasters. And I was talking about this last night. Like Sacramento, for example, it is even more vulnerable than New Orleans.
Yes. Well, you live in a town, Jim, that could literally collapse upon itself because the entire city has been undermined.
Well, if we were in that type of earthquake zone, you're certainly correct. But what I'm saying is, when these things begin to happen, sanity and people who think clearly have a way of being overwhelmed, and stupidity has a habit of getting its way. If we think that stupidity has gotten its way so far, should a revolution occur, we haven't seen anything yet. And that is the point that I bring to the table tonight.
Sure. And
a great deal of consternation.
I agree with a lot of what you say, most of what you say, Jim. And the first principle that I agree with is if something like that happens, you know who's going to get hurt? It's going to be poor people. It's going to be the weak people of this nation who pour into their streets in their numbers to get mowed down by a military in the hands of a madman like George Bush. Absolutely. But remember,
what scares me, if you think George Bush is bad, there are so many others who are even worse than George Bush.
Are there any of those crazy people, Jim, that you think are capable of being elected at this juncture? I mean, I can name you crazies. Rick Santorum is crazy. Bill Frist is crazy. Tom Tancredo is crazier than a sprayed roach. The list goes on and on. Tom DeLay is crazier than a run over dog.
That's what I mean. I mean.
But could any of those people come to power?
Oh, very, very, very. You know, who knows? Very possibly. I don't. You know, like I say, I'm not Nostradamus, and I'm not writing quatrains in print. But what I am saying is that this country cannot take a whole lot more because, you know, a lot of people think that America is just going to continue and continue and continue and continue and continue. But we are a nation less than 200, we're just barely over 200 years old.
Yes.
And already we have aged. We have aged in so many ways. And we have lost control of events abroad as well as at home. And we have seen exactly what just one hurricane could do to a major part of the southeastern United States. And I am trying to just express to you that I could not predict the fury and the violence that could erupt from that. And I don't think anybody could control it except someone who would do so at the point of a bayonet. And that scares me.
It should scare us all, Jim. Because, you know, freedom.
It will come for people. I mean, it could very easily happen. I mean, it damn near happened in the 1930s, if it weren't for Franklin D. Roosevelt, who at least was able to put a Band-Aid on it until World War II to get the economy of this country going again.
Well, we've got a poster in the chat room who says, yeah, maybe another Huey P. Long.
Well, God save us from fanatics and people like that, because what we do not need in this country is fanaticism. What we need is realism, and what we need is us, our people, who can think clearly and who have a sense of history. And I am afraid that that sense of history is being lost upon this country.
That sense of history is being systematically removed from the populace, and I'm convinced that it is a very deliberate act. The same things that Michelle talked about earlier about the failure of the public failures in our public education system obtain with regard to civics, with regard to history. Heck, they obtain with regard to home economics, Jim.
Well, you know, Philip Wiley back in the 1950s wrote a book called The Generation of Vipers. And, you know, I would hate to see, and these people have no sense of leadership, no sense of guidance, no sense of history because they haven't been taught any history. And it's just a matter of things would be up for grabs, and streets would, and power would be left in the streets of the first party who would be able to take it and grasp it and hold it in an iron hand. And that's not what America is about. And that is what scares me. And, you know, I submit that to you in all humility and all sincerity.
Well, I thank you for your thoughts, Jim. I thank you very kindly. And I wish you a very good Labor Day weekend.
Likewise, sir. Good night, sir.
Take care.
Too.
All right. It's time for a break for the news. And for other stuff, if we had Stairway to Heaven, I think I'd play it right now. I'm kidding. If you want to get involved in this discussion, it's the last one we're going to have until Tuesday, after all. Pick up the phone, 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
There's a nail in the door, and there's glass on the lawn. Tacks on the phone, and the TV's on.
This is the Quality News Network. In Vienna, a report by the International Nuclear Watchdog Agency released today states that Iran has no signs of freezing its uranium enrichment despite Western demands to do so by today's UN deadline. This report paves the way for UN Security Council sanctions against the country. However, there will be no action taken until a meeting next week between a top European diplomat and Iran's atomic chief. Across Iraq today, a series of violent attacks, including two car bombs and rocket or mortar attacks, left at least 51 people dead within a half hour. The majority were killed in a Shiite part of Baghdad. Close to 200 were wounded. Also today, Iraq's prime minister announced Iraqi forces will take over control in a second southern province, putting the Iraqis in charge of security in 2 out of 18 total provinces around the country. In Salt Lake City today, President Bush gave a speech at an American Legion gathering of 12,000 veterans. He predicted victory in the war on terror and compared the fight against Islamic fundamentalism to the battle against Nazism and communism. In Jerusalem today, a Palestinian gunman seeking political asylum entered the British embassy and remained holed up inside for several hours. The situation ended when Israeli police commandos stormed the building. In southern Lebanon today, a portion of the region has been transferred to the Lebanese army and international troops by the Israeli army. In Sweden, at an international donors conference today, more than $940 million in aid has been pledged by countries around the world to help rebuild Lebanon. In Damascus today, the UN Secretary General continued his visit to the Middle East by meeting with top Syrian officials. This weekend, he will go to Tehran. In Gaza today, for the first time in several weeks, Palestinian militants fired up to 10 rockets into Israel. In fighting today in the West Bank, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian militant. The UN Security Council has voted to create a peacekeeping force in Sudan's Darfur region. However, the AP reports the Sudanese government has rejected giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in their country. Along Mexico's Pacific coast, up to 10,000 people are evacuating because of Hurricane John, now a Category 3. Along the North and South Carolina coast, hurricane watches are in place as Tropical Storm Ernesto regains strength, and California will soon be the first state in the nation to have broad caps on greenhouse gas emissions.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending in July rose 0.8%. That's the largest amount in 6 months. Also, incomes last month were up 0.5 percentage point. In August, retail stores reported solid sales. Merchants such as Walmart, Federated, and Limited Brands did well with back-to-school shoppers. The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he expects America's productivity to keep growing solidly. LG Electronics and Sharp project a 20 to 30% drop in prices for flat LCD television sets next year because of overproduction and cost reductions. Panasonic will begin selling a 103-inch television set, the world's largest, for $80,000. The Labor Department says there was a slight drop last week in the number of Americans filing for jobless benefits, about 216,000. Ford Motor is considering the sale of its luxury Aston Martin brand to bring in money for its turnaround efforts. And in Norway, two Edvard Munch paintings stolen from an Oslo museum by gunmen 2 years ago have been recovered by police. The two masterpieces, The Scream and Madonna, were said to be in better than expected condition. Light sweet crude settled at $70.26 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 2 points. The NASDAQ was also down, too, and the S&P 500 was flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov. It's now 5.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
As I sit here on this Friday evening in the hills and hollers of West Virginia, it's 4.5 minutes past the hour. I've got a couple of things I want to share with you before we go back to the phones. I don't want to keep people hanging, but by the same time, and if you want to get in on it, jump in. I've got a couple of lines open, 877-443-2366. First of all, Agnes, would you please bring up? Yeah, there we go. I want to go two different places. Now I've got more audio from Rocky Anderson, and I want to share that with you. But first, I want to bust out a little bit literary for a second, because what Jim was talking about earlier reminded me of something in one of my favorite books of all time, and I'm a book geek. I freely admit it. A lot of people. Catch 22, Joseph Heller. You want stream of consciousness? Read this book. This is like James Joyce only comprehensible. It's like William Faulkner without the 3.5 gallons of brown liquor required to get through the book. This is a passage, and everything is in this book. I think there are portions of this book that Douglas Fife and Richard Armitage and Richard Pearl and John Negroponte and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all those creepy little bastards actually read and didn't realize it was satire and black comedy. They thought, hey, that's a good idea. But this is a passage that's worth remembering. In the original edition, it falls around page 236. There was a gaunt and dissipated old man with shabby long white hair and slovenly white unbuttoned shirt who sat cackling lasciviously in a musty blue armchair almost in the exact center of the room. He bade Nately and his companions welcome with a mirthful and sardonic formality. America, he said, will lose the war, and Italy will win it. America is the strongest and most prosperous nation on earth, Nately informed him with lofty fervor and dignity, and the American fighting man is second to none. Exactly, agreed the old man pleasantly with a hint of taunting amusement. Italy, on the other hand, is one of the least prosperous nations on earth, and the Italian fighting man is probably second to all. And that's exactly why my country is doing so well in this war, while your country is doing so poorly. This is the Second World War. Nately guffawed with surprise and then blushed apologetically for his impoliteness. I'm sorry I laughed at you, he said sincerely, and he continued in a tone of respectful condescension. But Italy was occupied by the Germans and is now being occupied by us. You don't call that doing very well, do you?
But of course I do, exclaimed the old man cheerfully. The Germans are being driven out, and we are still here. In a few years you will be gone too, and we will still be here. You see, Italy is really a very poor and weak country, and that's what makes us so strong. Italian soldiers are not dying any more, but American and German soldiers are. I call that doing extremely well. Yes, I am quite certain that Italy will survive this war and still be in existence long after your own country has been destroyed. Natalie could scarcely believe his ears. He had never heard such shocking blasphemies before, and he wondered with instinctive logic why G-men did not appear to lock the traitorous old man up. America is not going to be destroyed, he shouted passionately. Never? Prodded the old man softly. Well, Natalie faltered. The old man laughed indulgently, holding in check a deeper, more explosive delight. His goading remained gentle. Rome was destroyed. Greece was destroyed. Persia was destroyed. Spain was destroyed. All great countries are destroyed. Why not yours? How much longer do you really think your own country will last? Forever? Keep in mind that the earth itself is destined to be destroyed by the sun in 25 million years or so. Natalie squirmed uncomfortably. Well, forever is a long time, I guess. 1 million years? Persisted the jeering old man with keen, sadistic zest. 500,000? The frog is almost 500 million years old. Could you really say with much certainty that your America, with all its strength and prosperity, with its fighting man that is second to none, and with its standard of living that is the highest in the world, will last as long as the frog? Natalie wanted to smash his leering face. He looked about imploringly for help in defending his country's future against the obnoxious calumnies of this sly and sinful assailant. He was disappointed. Yossarian and Dunbar were busy in a far corner, pawing orgiastically at 4 or 5 frolicsome girls and 6 bottles of red wine, and Hungry Joe had long since tramped away down one of the mystic hallways, propelling before him like a ravening despot as many of the broadest-hipped young prostitutes as he could contain in his frail, windmilling arms and cram into one double bed. Natalie felt himself at an embarrassing loss. His own girl sat sprawled out gracelessly on an overstuffed sofa with an expression of ototious boredom. Natalie was unnerved. The sordid, vulturous, diabolical old man reminded Natalie of his father, because the two were nothing at all alike. Natalie's father was a courtly, white-haired gentleman who dressed impeccably. This old man was an uncouth bum. Natalie's father was a sober, philosophical, and responsible man. This old man was fickle and licentious. Natalie's father was discreet and cultured. This old man was a boor. Natalie's father believed in honor and knew the answer to everything. This old man believed in nothing and had only questions. Well, frankly, I don't know how long America is going to last, he proceeded dauntlessly. I suppose we can last forever if the world itself is going to be destroyed someday, but I do know that we're going to survive and triumph for a long, long time. For how long? Mocked the profane old man with a gleam of malicious elation. Not even as long as the frog? Much longer than you or me, Natalie blurted out lamely. Oh, is that all? That won't be very much longer, then, considering that you're so gullible and brave, and that I'm so already such an old, old man. You put so much stock in winning wars, the grubby, iniquitous old man scoffed. The real trick lies in losing wars, in knowing which wars can be lost. Italy's been losing wars for centuries, and just see how splendidly we've done nonetheless. France wins wars and is in a continual state of crisis. Germany loses and prospers. Look at our own recent history. Italy won a war in Ethiopia and promptly stumbled into serious trouble. Victory gave us such insane delusions of grandeur that we helped start a world war we hadn't a chance of winning. But now that we're losing again, everything has taken a turn for the better, and we will certainly come out on top again if we succeed in being defeated. Now I really don't understand what you're saying. You talk like a madman, but I live like a sane one. I was a fascist when Mussolini was on top, and I am an anti-fascist now that he has been deposed. I was fanatically pro-German when the Germans were here to protect us against the Americans, and now that the Americans are here to protect us against the Germans, I'm fanatically pro-American. I can assure you, my outraged young friend. The old man's knowing, disdainful eyes shone even more effervescently as Natalie's stuttering dismay increased, that you and your country will have no more loyal partisan in Italy than me, but only as long as you remain in Italy. But Natalie cried out in disbelief, you're a turncoat, a time server, a shameful, unscrupulous opportunist. I am 107 years old, the old man reminded him suavely. Don't you have any principles? Of course not. No morality? Oh, I'm a very moral man. It goes on at length, and there is such truth in it. If you haven't read Catch-22 before, read it. If you haven't read it in a while, reread it. Because, honest to God, you're going to find parts in there that look like a handbook for the Bush administration. It'll scare you into a cold sweat that'll bolt you up at 3 o'clock in the middle of the morning with the sweat rolling down in little beads on your face when you realize that Milo Minderbinder is actually Donald Rumsfeld. Really. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to get to some more Rocky Anderson audio in a little bit. Let's go to the phones. Gerard joins us from South Bend, Indiana. Hey, Gerard, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
It's going well. Yourself?
Good. I just wanted to piggyback a little bit on what Michelle from Texas was saying earlier. When you were talking with her, you kind of dated yourself. It was so now that I know that I'm 6 years older than you are, because I graduated in 75.
Okay.
And one thing that I've seen for several years now, mostly having to do with the jobs that I've had have been in middle management and in the food business, where I get to hire a lot of kids coming right out of high school. And one thing that I've noticed is, and there's always exceptions, but is a loss of the ability to reason and reflect to some extent.
How are they at regurgitating?
Oh, they're very good. And that's when you're training them for a job, that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to show them, and if they get all the steps right, then they feel they're doing a good job. But they're, you know, thinking back when I was coming out of high school, most of the jobs I was successful at were ones that I could, you know, the when I first went to work, they gave me some rudimentary training, and then I was able to figure out things, you know, the way I got promoted or got a raise or progressed was I was able to figure out things on my own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're processing.
Not that I'm any genius or anything, but I just see a real lack of that in a lot of the kids today. And I even hate using that phrase because it makes me sound like a father. But,
consarned whippersnappers!
I'm also old enough to remember when Rush Limbaugh first was getting popular. And, you know, he had the style of his show. I'm not sure if he was ever like in a drive time slot or whatever, but the style of his show was very, you know, I can remember hearing his show for the first time. You know, somebody told me, hey, you ought to hear this, you know. And so I listened to it, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And it took about the second or third time that I heard it where I really started to get the creepy crawlies, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because of a lot having to do with my life experience, I guess. But you know, I could see that basically he was laying down a right-wing template over, you know, all the current events, whatever was happened to be in the news at that time.
Right.
And there wasn't any kind of reflection. There wasn't really any kind of a reasoning. And you know, you talk about the way things evolve. You know, I think, you know, Michelle was talking about things, how things get chipped away and chipped away and chipped away until, you know, we're at a state where we are today. I was reading yesterday, I couldn't believe it, good old Kathleen Harris again. Oh, jeez. Did you read what she said? Did you hear what she said?
I must have missed the latest one, because otherwise I'd be screaming. Yeah.
It's just insane. She was admittedly talking to some American Baptist.
Oh, is this? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think, the secular state comment?
Yeah, and she says, you know, her I'm not going to get the quote exactly right, but she said God chooses the rulers. You know, she didn't say God chooses the elected officials or God.
No, she used the word rulers, I do believe.
Yeah, and then went on to say that if somebody who is in office is not a Christian, then anything they legislate is sin.
Well, you know, some of the I have heard it said, and I can't remember the author of the quote, Gerard, but one of these Christian dominionists has said in the last couple of years that atheists and other non-believers and people of the wrong faith should not be allowed to hold office, and went so far as to say the most ignorant fundamentalist Christian would be a better elected official than the most intelligent atheist. That's, you know, these people are at war with intellect. They're at war with critical reasoning. They're at war with being able to do anything except regurgitate Deuteronomy and Leviticus.
Right. And, you know, it's like, you know, she went on to, so I guess if we were to take that and put it in the context of with a little history, so if that is the rule, then if there were any agnostics or even non-religious people who signed the Voting Rights Act, then I guess the Voting Rights Act in 64
is by definition evil.
Yes, is sin. Or, you know, if you wanted to extrapolate a little bit more, I'm not aware of Barney Frank's religious affiliation, but, you know, keeping in line with Catherine Harris's view of the world, or Kathleen Harris's view of the world, then I suppose any bill that Barney Frank has signed is probably sin as well.
Oh, absolutely, and go. You can go the opposite direction with it. Any as long as they profess to be Bible believing Christians, any member of the Klan is a good person.
Yeah,
I mean,
no matter how many people they've lynched.
Right.
Yeah.
And as long as the Klan is composed of Christians, then by definition, lynching must have the imprimatur of Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
That is what makes these Reconstructionists and these Dominionists so absolutely, utterly dangerous to the social and political fabric of this nation. You know, I don't want to put them in a camp anywhere. I don't, you know, I wish they would all fly to the moon, but, you know, I'm holding out for the rapture. I don't know. But by the same token, I want them politically marginalized. I don't want to reach out to these goobers and goons.
I don't think we have a choice at that point.
You can't reach out to them. The only thing you can do is within the ranks of the normal and within the ranks of the active and within the ranks of working people who have to deal with working people's issues. We must learn to convey those working people's issues, and we must register and get to the polls normal people in sufficient numbers to utterly marginalize the vote of the Christo fascists.
And I really support also what you were talking about with Guy James too. I think there has to be a marriage somewhere along the line of a media presence and, you know, the grassroots everyday conversations that people have with each other. I mean, I heard my supervisor the other day told one of my colleagues that the reason that it's a young person who's just got into management and said they were talking about 401ks, and he's saying, well, you're probably not going to do as well with your 401k as I do, because I started, not only because I started earlier, but because all the liberal Democrats have let all the illegal immigrants into the country.
Oh, God.
Water down the economy, so you won't be able to earn as much as on your 401k.
Yeah, it's those illegal aliens on Wall Street. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You know.
Man, have we got work to do.
This is a guy who, you know, religiously watches O'Reilly, you know. And that's the guy. It was just a simple, everyday, over coffee conversation. You know, but
Gerard, you, man, did you just open the door on something? That's one of those that he was utterly comfortable saying that to you.
Yeah, and you know, can you think 20 years ago, even in 1994, the year of the supposed Republican Revolution? Can you imagine anybody in politics saying what Kathleen Harris said and not being laughed out of politics?
No, but you see, the culture has been made comfortable for them. And yeah. It has been made comfortable for them in large part, Gerard, through right-wing talk radio. This didn't happen because of a 30-second ad that ran on the news somewhere. This didn't happen because of a full-page ad in the... In the Johnson County battle cry of freedom and moral volcano. It didn't happen because of any of that. It happened because there is a message being beaten out there day in and day out, Gerard, and we're not countering it.
Yep.
Until now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, you know, I'm a big fan of Mike Malloy, but when I actually first stumbled across White Rose Society and then the Horn, you know, when I think I actually turned into Bruce's show, All Things Reconsidered, first.
Yeah.
And then started listening to your show. And the total, you know, 180-degree difference between, not that I was listening to Rush at that time or ever. I don't think I've listened to a show since the early 80s. But,
and you're still suffering from that, I know.
Yeah, but, you know, the total 180-degree difference was so pronounced, you know, and that's why I enjoy what you do so much, is that it's not sound bites. It's not, you know, blurting out your 30 seconds. I mean, it's gotten to the point now, even if you look at big media like C-SPAN, you know, their Washington Journal in the morning. You know, they get the conservative. I call them the barking dogs. Because that's what they do. They just bark. They don't. There's no reason behind what they're saying. They're just there to bark over whichever liberal person is in the other seat. You know, and that's
what and yet that's what makes it. That's what's so interesting, Gerard. When Randy Rhodes goes on a program, and, you know, I like Randy, I just don't get a chance to listen because I'm busy that time of day. When she goes on a program and starts just blistering the hide off of some right-wing freak, she's rude. You know, she's rude. I can't believe how rude that woman is. She won't let anybody talk.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a classic case of they can take it, but I mean, they can dish it out, but they can't take it. You know, they don't want sauce on their goose. They just want it on their gander.
Yeah, that's all that Hannity does. Barks out talking about points for the day, you know.
And there are millions of dollars that flow into his bank account for doing it, and it just astonishes me. I mean, the fact that an O'Reilly or a Hannity or a Flimball can succeed in the United States would be enough to make you feel pretty depressed about the American body politic. But it's not the body politic; it is the body media that has made their success. They haven't succeeded with the vast majority of people who get up and go to work every day. And more you see articles like that guy who used to be some sort of a speech Ronald for Ryder Reagan. Oh God, it is Friday, isn't it? But he said, you know, Ann Coulter doesn't speak for me. You know, there is a certain amount of distancing going on because they do not want to be held accountable with the rest of these cretins when everything goes to caca.
Right. Well, even Jeb Bush is a little leery of Kathleen Harris.
Oh no, no, he's not leery. That, you know, he's got the little face mask on, and she's got galloping political pneumonia.
Yeah.
Gerard, so good to hear from you. Have yourself a wonderful Labor Day weekend. All right.
You guys take it easy.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
And we'll come back with a quick break, and we'll go back to the phones. You know the number, 877-443-2366. I really do want to get back to a little bit more of Rocky Anderson. This is the Head On Radio Network. You know me. I'm Bob.
Joe DiMaggio. Joe. Hey, this is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. John F. Kennedy once said, "Democracy is never a final achievement. It is a call to an untiring effort." From September 5th to September 21st, the citizenry of the United States of America are occupying the National Mall with an encampment aptly named Camp Democracy. Camp Democracy aims to bring together peace and justice movements to find strength in numbers and call attention to the abuses currently being perpetrated by the Bush administration and the Republican Congress. You've heard me say on my shows, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Well, now is the time to put your feet on the street and make your ideas known. Join us as we occupy the People's Park from September 5th to the 21st. Join us as we show the world what a true democratic society does when its leaders cease listening to its people. Join us as we raise our voices and call for fundamental change. For more information, including ride sharing, available rooms, and a schedule of events, please visit www.campdemocracy.org. That's www.campdemocracy.org. Thanks, and I'll see you in D.C.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the Supreme Court? I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what goes on inside the Beltway, it helps to have a Beltway insider. And I know what's going on in Washington because I used to work there as a congressional attorney. And my sources still give me the inside scoop. So check out the inside scoop. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Downhill to the end of tonight's program. 28 minutes before the hour, our good friend Preston is calling from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program. Thank you for sharing your time.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for that reading from Catch 22. I think fiction can be such helpful guides at times.
Sometimes it's more real than anything I'm living through, you know?
Yes. You know, and mythology, too, actually. Did you ever catch Joseph Campbell?
The Power of Myth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's I wish I had it on DVD. I caught it years ago in a classroom setting. We watched the whole series.
Correct.
And it just blew me away.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, I think there are sort of little revolutions like that going on. You know, aside from the traditional, what we think of revolution, you know, people in the streets taking the president out of the White House or something like that, there are these other sorts of, you know, revolutionary storytelling going on and things like that. People finding power through other channels at times. But what Jim was talking about how far it all can be pushed before maybe there's some reactionary response from, you know, the military establishment, you know, that's always something to consider. But many times in history, the military has chosen to side with the popular movements. It happened in the Philippines. It happened recently in Venezuela, where they had a coup that was supported by the U.S., and they took Chavez out of their White House, and the people rose up and put him back into office. It was astounding.
Well, thank God the Bush administration is so profoundly inept. Had it not, the CIA might have succeeded with that coup.
Yeah.
But you know, the ineptitude rolls downhill.
Yeah.
It's and in fact, as much as I loathe the policies, there's a great argument to be made, Preston, that it's the ineptitude of these goons that really makes it worse. In a way. Can you imagine if they had succeeded in Iraq, we'd already be in Iran by now.
Well, yeah.
But they're inept.
Yeah, although I must say, I don't know. Lewis Lapham had an article recently in Harper's, and he talks about how, in some ways, that they succeeded. And to them, he says it doesn't matter who gets killed or why. Every day is payday.
Well, that much is true. From an economic aspect, Iran, Iraq, every bomb that lands is a little bit more money in the Bush family's pocket. It's a little bit more money for the Carlyle Group. Sure. Well, I mean, the story, and I have never dealt with it, Preston, in the depth that it deserves. But this revelation that came out in the last week or two that there are literally no meters on the oil pipelines that pump oil from Iraq into tankers in the Persian Gulf. There are no meters.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and that's all that some of these bankers and investors are concerned about, just getting those resources. But people on the ground there, and a lot of people in the military are paying the price, and it does matter to them who gets killed or if they're being forced to kill people.
Yes.
And they are starting to withhold some of their support. I saw something like 8,000 people have gone AWOL.
Yes, and the thing is, there's a difference. In a way, there's sort of a material difference between going AWOL if you're at Fort Lewis in Washington and you go over the Canadian border. There's a difference in doing that and doing it in Iraq, and they're doing it in Iraq.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people, as with the Israeli military, they aren't fulfilling the operation they're being told to conduct, like bombing some house that they don't know about. They're just bombing the side of a hill instead.
Right.
And doing those acts of disobedience.
You know, it's interesting that there's there are passages concerning that kind of behavior in Catch-22, Preston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where Yossarian just drops his bombs willy-nilly because he's unwilling to drop them on an unsuspecting non-combatant village.
Okay. Oh, great.
All of this stuff was in many ways was presaged. You know, when it was not lightly that Dwight Eisenhower warned us against the coincidence of power between government and defense contracting that he termed the military-industrial complex. He meant it. And Joseph Heller saw down the road. You don't have to be religiously inspired, and it doesn't have to be magic to engage in something approaching prophecy. Prophecy is a function of really good minds that are able to plot 5 and 6 moves out on the board.
Yep, that's right. You know, in addition to Eisenhower, I just found a really remarkable comment from General Douglas MacArthur. From a book, A Soldier Speaks, Public Papers and Speeches of the General of the Army. He said, "Our government has kept us in a perpetual state of fear, kept us in a continuous stampede of patriotic fervor with the cry of grave national emergency. Always there has been some terrible evil at home or some monstrous foreign power that was going to gobble us up if we did not blindly rally behind it by furnishing the exorbitant funds demanded."
And that's MacArthur?
That's exactly. That's what I said when I read it. General Douglas MacArthur. And I found that actually, I want to give credit to William Blum. He had an article on Z Magazine's website. and William Blum, he was in the State Department for a while before he saw what was going on, and he turned his back on it. So, you know, I think there are a lot of people like that within our establishment that would not allow for, you know, the military coming on us in that way. You know, anything's possible. I've already had friends who have been treated very brutally in some of those protests against the WTO and the IMF and stuff like that. And there's always a concern, you know, beyond some big social violence on a wide scale, there's always concern about things like, you know, losing jobs or getting on some list. You know, a lot of us are parents and, you know, have those considerations to make. But, you know, I think we're finding our courage in many ways.
And, you know, I'm excited about what's going to go on with this Camp Democracy movement on the Mall in D.C.
Exactly.
I'm very excited about that. And I know from the the organizations that are going to be there, it's going to be peace. It's going to be practical nonviolence. I hope there will be some workshopping on it, because the upshot of a lot of what Jim was saying, Preston, is that it's that moment when the people decide to rise up and get violent. You know, all they get is dead.
Yep. And that's right.
This must be, we must have change, and that change must be peacefully accomplished. There is no other rational alternative.
There really isn't an option. And, you know, the Palestinians, there's so often no resistance. We usually focus on the militaristic resistance at times, but by and large, their resistance has been a peaceful protest, very courageous stuff.
Yes.
And that's what's been the most effective as well. I think it's certainly the way to go. And we also have Americans, U.S. citizens joining them, risking a lot. People like Rachel Corrie, you know, bless her soul.
Yes.
And, a lot of revolutions going on as we speak. And I think they're getting larger, getting support from people within the establishment. You may have seen Noam Chomsky at West Point recently. I mean, we have friends all over in all our institutions. So.
And the thing that I hope we're doing here is giving just a little bit of added breath to it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to take any more time. I want to hear Rocky Anderson.
Okay. Well, thank you, Preston.
Thank you so much.
You have a great Labor Day weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's do go to Rocky Anderson. Agnes, I marked a couple of marks in the whole speech that I want us to go to. If you will please bring up that audio, I think we can. I think this is worthy of the last few minutes of this week's programming. Start there.
And service women. Well, the principal claim was that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, biological and chemical weapons, and was seeking to build up a nuclear weapons capability. As we now know, there was nothing, no evidence whatsoever to support those false claims. President Bush represented to us and to people around the world that one of the reasons we needed to make war in Iraq and to do it right away was because Saddam Hussein was seeking to build nuclear weapons. His assertions about Saddam Hussein trying to purchase nuclear materials from an African nation and about Iraq seeking to obtain aluminum tubes for the enrichment of uranium were challenged at the time by our own intelligence agency and by our own scientists, yet President Bush failed to tell us that. 10 days before the invasion of Iraq.
Here comes. He's going to drive a nail.
Documents upon what President Bush's claim about Saddam Hussein trying to obtain uranium was based were forgeries. That was found 10 days before we invaded Iraq. However, President Bush did not disclose that fact to the American people. And by that failure, he betrayed each and every one of us. He betrayed our country, and he betrayed the cause of world peace.
Isn't English beautiful when it's spoken plainly?
9 did the vast majority of the news media in this country disclose those forgeries until it was far too late. It took our local newspapers here in Salt Lake City 4 months until after the war was commenced and after President Bush declared that major combat in Iraq was over to report the discovery that those documents were forgeries, and therefore that there was no basis for the false claims about Saddam Hussein trying to build up a nuclear capability. By its failure to promptly disclose those forgeries, our news media betrayed us as well.
Our news media betrayed us as well. Okay, Agnes, stop and move to the next mark, please. This is amazing. When was the last time you heard anything like this that wasn't inside some sort of a political convention or given for some otherwise self-serving reason? There's nothing self-serving about this. It's Salt Lake City, for God's sakes. Okay, hit it, Agnes.
Military forces have not been rebuilt, she told us 2 months before September 11th.
It is
astounding how they changed their claims after the president decided to make a case for the invasion and occupation of Iraq. To think that we could be lied to by so many members of the Bush administration with such impunity is frightening, chilling. Yet these imperious, arrogant, dishonest people think we should continue to just fall in line with them and take them at their word after we have been lied to time after time after time by these same people. The truth has been established. This is not a matter of opinion. This is not a matter of belief. It is the established truth. Iraq had nothing to do with the 9/11 attacks on the United States. There has been no evidence of any operational ties between Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
Nope.
And there were no weapons of mass destruction
Mm-mm.
in Iraq. What a tragedy, leading to greater tragedy. We are fed lie after lie. Our media reinforces those lies, and we are a nation that has been led to a tragic, illegal, unprovoked war. So, we are here today because of our values. We love our country.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Sean Hannity.
We cherish the freedoms and liberties of our country. And we don't call those who speak out against our nation's leaders unpatriotic or un-American or appeasers of fascists, as we heard from our incompetent Secretary of Defense yesterday.
Woohoo!
We have good, wholesome family values.
Ooh, that's scary.
In our families, we teach honesty.
Yeah.
In our families, we teach kindness and compassion toward others. And in our families, we teach that violence, if ever justified, must be an absolute.
Okay. Kick it up there to about 29, please. And pick it up. Forgot about the program behaving that way.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Sorry. These things happen. Back up just a little bit, and
we are left to wonder about a president who, after receiving an intelligence memo about the threat posed by Al-Qaeda, decided to continue his month-long vacation just before the 9/11 attacks on our country. As we demand the truth from others, let us also face the truth. Our government all too often has not cared at all about the human rights of people in other nations, and it doesn't really care about democracy unless it leads to the election of those who will do our bidding. Consider the irony regarding the claims that Saddam had chemical weapons And because of that, we needed to rush to war against Iraq. When Saddam Hussein was using chemical weapons, first against the Iranians and then against his own people,
here it comes.
The Kurds, our country provided him with biological and chemical agents and equipment to make those weapons.
But what does that mean, Rocky?
Presidents Reagan and George H.W. Bush refused even to support economic sanctions, let alone going to war against him, economic sanctions against Hussein for his use of weapons of mass destruction. What did our nation do in response to Hussein's use of chemical weapons, killing tens of thousands of people when he actually had them, and we knew that he had them? Our response was that we befriended, coddled, and rewarded him with government-guaranteed loans totaling $5 billion since 1983, freeing up currency for Hussein to modernize his military assets. Perhaps those in the United States government who aided and abetted Saddam Hussein to further U.S. business interests while he was gassing the Kurds should be sharing his courtroom dock.
Yes.
As he is now being tried for
yes.
crimes against humanity.
There is the single most important phrase in that entire speech. Perhaps the people who enabled Saddam Hussein to gas his own people should be sharing time with him in the dock in his trial. You realize what Rocky Anderson just called for? He called for an international war crimes trial against George H.W., son of a Nazi facilitator, Bush. And truer words have never been spoken. We propped him up to the tune of $5 billion. Ronnie Reagan did it. George H.W. Bush did it. Bill Clinton didn't do it. Jimmy Carter didn't do it. Republicans did it. Because, of course, and I realize this is painting with a rather broad brush, doing evil is what Republicans do best. Whether it's propping up the Pinochet government in Chile, or if you're John Negroponte, facilitating right-wing death squads in Guatemala and El Salvador. Evil and death and misery and destruction are the stock in trade of the Republican Party. And you see, now they've brought it home. They brought it home a year ago in their non-response to a hurricane that was moving at no more than 20 miles an hour over the course of days. They brought that evil and death and misery and destruction home to us. It's close to my heart. It's close to my home. So I know what happens when the Bush administration gets hold of the Mine Safety and Health Administration and takes literally hundreds and thousands of workers' lives into their hands and plays with them as though they were dime store toys because MSHA was loaded with mining industry cronies who didn't think as much about a human being's life, a working man's life, as they thought about the value of a continuous mining machine. At this hour, the lives of literally thousands of Americans, young and old, hang in the balance in hospitals all over the United States of America because the Bush National Labor Relations Board is considering something called the Kentucky River cases, in which they will take away the union protections of every single registered nurse in this
country. And yes, it impacts the nurses, but the nurses will be the first to tell you that who it really impacts is the quality of care for the weakest, the weariest, and the most wounded among us. This is the death and misery and destruction that comes as the handmaiden of Republican politics every time they get the bit in their teeth. And questions deserve to be asked of those people who call themselves Americans who would support and enable that kind of agony. And it becomes, the question of the hour becomes, are we willing to ask those questions? Gerard told us how blithely an individual said, well, you know, your 401k is not going to do so good because of all them immigrants here. You see, I heard that on O'Reilly. Can we learn to as easily bring up in civil conversation the myriad ways in which the Bush administration, that jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout I loathe, the myriad ways in which that man is attacking everything that is actually dear and good and decent about the America that has been created by generations of people putting their lives on the line in workshops, in factories, in industrial sites, in wars, in the streets, in protests. The America that the civil rights movement sought to build, dreamed to build, and faced down dogs and water cannons over is at risk. Profound risk. Dr. King's dream is very near being put in the tomb with him. That is where we stand on September the 1st, 2006. And no more important couple of months will transpire than transpire between now and November. This is literally a battle for the soul and the future of this republic. It will remain a republic, or it will continue to deteriorate into imperial fantasy. And it is that simple. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening, for sharing your time with us, for inviting us into your homes, your offices. The program tonight was, of course, produced by my lovely, talented, vivacious wife, Agnes. Aww. John Fox is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. He's in Sydney, Australia. We are streaming partners with radiopower.org, and we appreciate the efforts of our good friend Shelby LePre. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives of all the programs on the Head On Radio Network. Following this program, a rerun from the IE America days from our good friend Mike Malloy. I hope you'll stay tuned for it. That's courtesy of Ben. Our IT professional is Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida. Brian Reznor announces the program. Every program on the Horn happens because of the dedication of several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and go to work and build the American dream. And by doing so and supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. I wish you all the very best Labor Day you may possibly have. Spend a few minutes over this weekend and think back on why there is a Labor Day. It didn't come about through individuals' action. It came about